You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
This is going
to
be a clusterfuck.
This podcast has no rules.
Talking to the mic, asshole.
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret
it? Can I get a microphone?
No! What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intent. No topics. No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on riotcast.com.
Hey.
Say hi to the world in perpetuity.
Oh, good word.
I'm not sure what it means.
We know.
Yeah.
Hashtag me neither. Holy shit, Mike.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, I thought he was just doing panoramic. He's going to run around the room. Do like a panoramic shot. It's like, yeah. It's like Tommy Lee's drum set going all over the place.
Let's go. You know, it's funny. What are you doing? Making noise. Stop making fucking noise. There's a show going on. Stop. Sorry. Introduce everybody.
Alrighty. We got a small show today. Sitting to my right, we got Dan St. Germain back. Second time in the show?
A couple times. I think third time. For the second time with Bobby. But
oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. A couple times, yeah. Then we have returning guest Mike Vecchione.
Yes.
Wearing his wrestling championship.
Yeah, I was just coming from them when you texted me on the. I was on the plane.
Are you really a champion?
No, I went to watch Nationals in St. Louis.
How was it?
It was unbelievable. It's the top wrestling in the country. It was really.
Some guy won 4 years
tournament.
In a row, right?
Yeah, he won 4 years.
So there's some
Stieber
dude
from Ohio State. Ohio State won the tournament, and this kid Stieber won it 4 years in a row. There's been
Is he unbelievable, that guy?
Unbelievable the way he wrestled. I mean, you know how, like, I don't know, at the top of any sport, the guys who are really, really good at it, it doesn't even look like they're giving effort. They're just like flowing from one thing to another.
Yeah.
Are you guys listening to anything?
Yeah,
I'm
we
saying?
Are, just, man.
I don't know.
I'm just getting really turned on. Actually.
Yeah.
I'm mixing, I'm buttoning, and I'm listening.
Dude's wrestling.
I'm interested.
You guys are just giving me dead stares.
Well, I was looking at your wrestler torso.
He was just thinking of like shit to give. So you know when your face goes blank when you're thinking of shitting on someone. You're just like picking the right point.
But I had nothing. I didn't have any. I was trying to do something about. I had a mean one in the can, but I was like, it's too mean, so I didn't want to.
This
say
early
it.
In the show.
Yeah, so I held back, and then and then you called me out on it. But it's funny, you. I mean, I like wrestling,
right?
But I don't know if I could go watch it. Is it that interesting?
Yeah, no. For people who haven't done it or aren't fans of it, yeah, it's probably not as interesting.
You were a wrestler back in high school?
Yeah, high school.
Now, how far did you go with that?
I placed in states in Florida. Wow. I placed second, went to the finals and lost my senior year, and then I wrestled at Penn State for a while.
Wow.
A year. I wrestled a year, and I was out of my league.
Really?
I took beatings. I mean, I'm a tough kid, but like I was just taking beatings, man.
Did you have the earpieces on so you didn't get cauliflower ear?
Yeah.
Really? Now, what is that from? Them smacking your head?
Yeah. It's super aggressive. It's like they set up, you know, they set up angles in order to attack. In order to do that, they like smack your head or do whatever they got to do. There's a lot of head movement.
So it's a lot. It's almost like hitting somebody.
Yeah. In college, not so much in high school. In college, it's very, very tough. Very, very
tough. So they'll smack the side of your ear, and it fucks up your ear.
Yeah, if you're not wearing headgear. And
no shit.
Fluid accumulates in there. And then you have to get it drained, which is as painful as it sounds.
Ugh.
And then it hardens. And then it looks like your ear is, like, pregnant.
So even if you drain it, you can't. It won't go back to normal.
Right. It just, like, hardens. They drain it, and it hardens.
Well, can't they fucking just smash it and then form a better ear, like, at the end of your career, and then let it harden into a good ear?
I don't know. A lot of guys wear it like a...
Right, you know what I'm saying?
You're talking about, like,
if we could put a man on the moon, we could probably get your ears back.
Well, what I'm saying is if the way you get cauliflower ears is by hitting it, it fills up with fluid, and then the fluid hardens, correct?
Right.
Okay. So, you're draining it, whatever. So, at the end of your career, just take a fucking nice hammer, a flat hammer, and smash your ear on an anvil, and then when it fills up with the fluid,
right,
as it's hardening, kind of form it into an ear, like what it was before.
Are you using the fluid to make another ear?
To make the ear that you have, but just look better.
This is definitely why you're not a doctor.
The Bobby Kelly. Yeah.
Oh, no, but
medical
I am.
School.
I knew that when he said anvil. He brought anvil into
a casino, like a scene for Casino.
Have you, now, you don't look like you did sports.
I wrestled in high school.
Did you?
My freshman year, and then I dropped out. And then I did cross country for like
that.
2 years.
So you didn't have the beard back then, though, right?
No.
Clean cut.
I was total pussy. Although I do think that, like, if any comic, if, like, they became, like, a millionaire, like a multimillionaire,
yeah,
like, I could totally see them doing the Foxcatcher thing. You know, like, that kind of insanity.
What
immediately
do you mean?
Going into it. Like, just, like, having your own property and, like, hiring, like, a girls' volleyball team to work on it or some shit
Jesus
like that. You know, and just, like, watching the corner, you know?
Giving them speeches when mom comes out.
Yeah, I mean, like, my ultimate goal in comedy is just to become a private detective. It has nothing to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's the shit I think about. Like, oh, maybe if I made enough money in this, I could, like, open a cold case. You know, like, that's what CSI. I really want to do, actually. Like, everyone's like, oh, how special. I want to be the next Pryor, and I'm like, man, if I could just find a way to, like, solve the Zodiac, which probably means I shouldn't be doing it.
No, dude, I think the same shit. I want to make enough money to sell in Aruba. I just want to get a Hawaiian ice machine and become the Hawaiian ice guy of
the
Aruba.
Funny Hawaiian ice guy. Like,
yeah, like,
the guy.
Like, my cups are hats. You know what I mean?
After they're done, they can wear it as a hat?
Yeah, after you're done, you put it on as a hat, and you can goof around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because I think when you, like, start, you're like, I'm going to be the comedian that wins an Oscar. And right. Then you do it for 10 years, and you're like, I wonder what it'd be like to own property.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, what I mean?
Everybody else is just
everything
kind of
changes.
You.
Yeah, everything else changes.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. How about, I've been doing it 20 years and thinking that. Yeah. How hard is it to get your real estate license?
Yeah, right.
I think all comics.
DC Benny, he's a real estate agent.
Yeah, but
right?
he actually.
He's like a legit guy.
Well, he's a legit real estate guy, and he sells high-end properties,
yeah.
And him and his wife, she actually has her own business, too, where she makes, I think, soaps or something like that, which is actually pretty successful.
Hmm. Yeah.
They're both successful in that, but his career just popped off again with Last Comic Standing.
Right.
So now he's touring again.
On
so he's kind of living the dream. You know, you get he's
getting
got,
the end of both worlds.
The end of both worlds.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
The end of both worlds?
You know what I mean.
Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. Yeah.
I wish it was the end of your world. Fucking the end of both worlds.
This podcast has been too nice.
Hey, they get,
I know, right?
They get the end of both worlds. You know what I mean? With the soap and the real estate. And then there's a third thing, the comedy, the end of three worlds. They get the shut the fuck up. The fuck kind of people are them? Henry, they get the end of both worlds, Henry. I think about that. I've thought about being a private detective because you think it's not that hard. What do you do? You fucking hang out?
Nah, I wouldn't. What if you run out of clues and then you're like, I don't know.
Well, first
then
of
what?
All, I don't think you do clues. It's not your Sherlock.
Right.
I mean, I think it's called evidence. I mean, yeah, I found a clue. There's a hair on the rug. I mean,
yeah, but it's like that type of stuff, right? Let's rework the facts.
I think. Well,
do you get the money if you don't solve the case?
What? I think you get it. Here's what I think happened. Remember the girl that showed her boobs on here, by the way?
Yeah.
She worked for a private eye for a long time.
Who is this?
Aaliyah Janine.
I love that you know her name because
like
her titties.
Name, yeah. Really.
Oh, yeah. She's fucking gorgeous. Yeah. She's just so, she's sexy. Just sexy. Mm-hmm. Oh. And she was a private detective, too, for this guy. They had a show on TV. Remember that show? What was it called? The detective show? I don't know what it was. Yeah. But it was basically a private eye. And he had these hot chicks, and they would go and, you know, get information and do surveillance. And someone, hey, I think my wife is fucking banging this dude, or I think my partner's stealing money. And they would go and just, you know, do surveillance and squeeze information out of him and then report back to the people with that so they could have a case. It's not like in the TV show where you solve the case.
No, but I think that's what most of that private detective ends up being, is my wife cheating on me. Is my husband cheating?
Yeah.
That's what it ends up being. I mean, there's no like.
But if you
they're not calling
money,
you in to solve a murder. You know?
If you have money, you could.
Well, no,
do
they
what
have
you want to do.
They like, have that. They could. It's called the FBI. It's just the highest private eye.
Right.
It's not private. It's federal.
But a private detective is like in the private
so
sector.
You're saying that
I have a criminal justice degree. I think I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you do?
I know you've got the cap, but I have the degree.
You really have the degree?
Yeah, I have a criminal justice degree, bro. They just don't give those out. You can't get them on.
Not at Penn State.
You can get them online. Now.
Well, they should give them out because you're not doing anything with it. Can you give yours away?
You have a criminal state. Yeah, that's amazing, Mike.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, it's amazing because I thought it was amazing that you wrestled. Well, I thought you moonshined. Played in the fucking blues band.
Whoever collected the most pigeons won.
We made our own. We made our own bacon in college.
More like a Brooklyn thing, I think, to do.
It is weird that you fucking. When did you become this guy?
Well, I went from like I did sports for a little bit, and then I was like, I'm theater. And then I did drugs, and I feel like that you know, once you start doing that.
Oh, really?
Then I was like, yeah. So then I got, like, into the jam band scene, like, later on.
You play music?
Nah, I mean, shitty drums, and, like, right. I just got a harmonica. I'm trying to, like, fucking...
You have one on you now?
The loneliest thing. No, well, in my bag, yeah. Can you play a little? No, I'm, like, learning one song.
Can you play a little?
No. Come like, on. I need the fucking book in front of me.
Get the book. No.
Book.
You know you got the book.
This is going to be like when Kelly Vistuca did stand-up for you guys. It's going to be way worse than that.
Nothing. Listen to me.
Nothing without that.
Statistically, factually, scientifically.
I can't. It's too embarrassing. I'll come back.
Hello? Give me got a big app. Hello? My bum is big.
I'm gonna be back in New York. I'm gonna be back in June, and I'll do it then. Cause like I'll wait. You'll if you have me back, then I get 2 months to practice, I'll come on just for 2 minutes and leave.
I'm gonna let you off the hook.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I this weekend I tried learning to play the drums last year. I started, and I've been playing for under a year. Yeah. And this weekend I got offered. There was a big show. Me, Norton, and Artie Lang. Mm-hmm. Did at the Maffei Theater in Tampa for Mike Calta's show. It was fucking awesome. And his band, right after the show, was in the lobby in Pitbull Toddler. And they played. And they were like, you're coming up. You're doing a song on the drums. And I was the same way. I was like, dude, I don't because I've never played live. I've never all the drumming I did is like over a track. So it's pretty much lip syncing.
Right.
So that's a little easier.
There's no audience either.
Well, you understand that. People don't know. I never knew either. The band, when what the band hears and what you hear are different because you're in front of the speakers.
Yeah.
So when you're on stage with the band, it's a totally different world. It's dead. You really can't hear the singer. You can't hear anything.
Plus, they just saw you killed, and then you would just immediately take that away.
People
would totally forget about it.
Oh, it would have been the fucking talk of the town. Plus, he's the number one show in Tampa. So if I bombed. How happy would he be? Because he had video of just me fucking bombing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's painful.
But I was dude. I was so nervous, I kept telling the guy, "I'm not gonna do it. I gotta go." At one point, I went, "It's too loud in here." Like I was an old Jewish lady. It's loud. I can't hear. And the guy, Tony Burton, super agent Tony Burton, was like, "You'll go." I was like, "Dude, I'm out. I'm done." And then they were like, all right, fucking Robert Kelly. And I had to go on stage.
You did it?
Dude, my heart fucking sank. And I went on stage and we played AC/DC Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear.
How bad was it? Was it good?
It was great. I did great. Yeah. It was great. But it's a song. You know, it's the easiest song in the fucking world. Yeah.
Right. It's
song.
Still fucking impressive. That's really impressive.
But I was I fucked up a couple times. On the groove. I saw the lead singer laugh at one point because he's like, bow now. Now,
you got to catch up.
How many people were there?
It was the show was thousands, but the band after was a few hundred.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was pretty packed up. There was a lot of people. The funniest thing in the world, though, is after the show, I was talking about this on O&A today. Such a different world after the show. All the people coming up, hey, this is my boyfriend. Me and my boyfriend have been fans for a while. Can we get a picture? Me and my boyfriend love you. Yeah. After playing drums. As soon as I got off, hey, I'm Megan.
Oh my God, really?
Who's the boyfriend?
Wow.
Dude.
It's the band thing.
You can be a mediocre musician and just crush pussy
and add fat.
Right.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Right. But as soon as, like, comedian. It doesn't. People are like, oh, you must get laid in the road. I'm like, dude, it's only couples that come. Yeah. No single lady comes
to comedy shows. No.
Yeah. Unless you're like fucking.
Unless
Crystalia,
they do a bachelorette party and they fucking suck.
And real wild chicks are not coming to see comedy.
Well, not They're coming not to see our comedy. I mean, you know, fucking Dane Cook.
That's true.
Dane Cook, D'Elia.
That's true.
I would say who else? I would say.
I think those are it. Pauly Shore. Yeah. If you go to the store, Pauly Shore, it's surprising. Yeah,
there's certain guys who like attract single.
Nothing about my act says fuck me. You know what I mean? It's always like I'm a fat piece of shit. I'm drunk. I'm desperate. Hey, listen, I got nice bees. You take the shirt off. There's something going on.
My whole act is deterring young hot chicks to even come to my show.
You have a 10-minute fart joke.
Yeah. I talk about my fucking dead fart. Toenail. Just awful. It's literally like you want nothing to do with it.
There's only so many Florence Nightingale types that want to show up to like help.
Yeah.
Okay, where's the thing?
It's on the floor. I can't bend down and get it right now.
Just
so.
Throw it to me. Florence Nightingale, the help. Let me try to save it. She's trying to help.
Bomb towel?
Yeah, it's the bomb. That's the bomb bandana right there. Just so we know who had the last stinker.
What's the hardest somebody's bombed on the show?
Oh, man.
Where there's like a joke that didn't work, like a whole thing, or just a guest in general.
Will can't speak English, so.
Yeah, but that's not a bomb. It's actually the best thing that's ever happened to the show. I'm trying to say Lou Gramitz. Lou, you know, the Jewish disease. Lou Gramitz. Lou Garrett. Who the fuck? Lou Gramitz. It's a Jew disease. He thought Hitler made it up. But, it was fucking nerve-wracking. Nerve-wracking. Yeah. To learn an instrument and then play it live is fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, doesn't sound fun at all.
But after, it's the fucking best thing in the world. It was so...
So there was like women coming up to you right after that.
As soon as I sat down, I was all... Because I threw my drumsticks out. And then some chick came up. Can you sign this?
Like, oh my God.
I was like, what?
Women came up to you for that than filming like an hour special.
Oh, yeah. My wife was at my hour special, too. So, right. Yeah, my hour special. Just being a fucking pathetic, fat, old dude. There's no girls at my special. Nothing.
Yeah, there were.
There was a couple girls.
There were couples.
Yeah. I mean, there was a small window for me.
Yeah.
I had a small window where, you know, I had... Like when I was working the cellar, when I was becoming an official headliner, but I was middling a lot and working. Yeah. We were just I was in the city more than I was on the road. You know?
Right.
And I could get a lot of pussy at the cellar. I mean, I remember I had so much box at the cellar. I might walk up
stage
one
night. Yeah, I mean,
that's
the place everybody just gets laid, huh?
Yeah, man, and the Boston Comedy Club, too, man. Yeah. Back then, chicks would show up, and I would just try to crush it just so I'd get some box.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it. A teacher from Brooklyn. I remember that girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was fucking long, curly hair, beautiful body, total fucking, you know, worked with kids during the day.
Why did you marry her?
Fucking, just taking it from me at night. I always made her come in the city, too.
You made it sound, taking it from the kids during the day, taking it from me at night. Unbelievable. Well-rounded educator.
And I would go to these girls once.
Yeah.
I'd go to your house once, and then that's it. You had to come in the city. I fucking refused to date a chick in Staten Island. I was like, I'm not taking a boat.
Yeah, no, I could do that.
I'm not doing a captain to fucking go get pussy.
No.
You have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
You have a girl?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten laid in like 2 months.
Are you crazy? Yeah, we talking on the phone for a while. I thought you were doing good.
I had a moment.
We're friends outside of this, bro. I said that to let you guys know.
Yeah. I had a moment, but that was in January. I had like three in like 2 weeks. Then all of a sudden it just ended.
You had three chicks?
In like 2 weeks.
Getting laid?
Yeah. Well, two out of three. And the other one, you know, had, you know, she took
hand
care
job?
Of me. Yeah, well, you know.
Blowjob.
Yeah.
She gave you a
blowjob.
But
then it just stopped. Yeah, for just 2 months I've been on a cold streak. You know?
It's weird. It does. When it rains, it pours with pussy. I remember back in the day, even at my hottest, I would fucking still, there would be times where I got nothing. And I just didn't get it. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Well, also, you don't drink, which is like 30 times harder.
Well,
so
you
gotta pretend to be
so
interested.
You know, are you now?
Yeah, I'm not drinking, so it's the same shit.
I used to take them to coffee shops. That was my thing. I would take them to like French Roast up the street.
Yeah.
And I had little spots around here that I'd take them to. And we'd, after the shows, always after shows.
Yeah. You got to wait, make sure they kill.
1 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. Right?
Yeah, but what do they want to drink?
No, because I go through my whole spiel about being a recovering, and they thought it was great, and I love that, and I get them a cup of coffee, maybe we split a dessert, it was kind of romantic, and then I'd fucking make them suck my dick in a vestibule in front of their apartment.
I'm on the step where you suck my dick during the okay. Just tighten this up. Is that what I do?
I was in Toronto this weekend, and there was like two nights in a row where I'm like, wasted my two nights like hanging out with some girl that like nothing happened.
Nothing.
Like, no. Nothing. It was
she a comedian?
No.
Oh.
If it was a comedian, it would have been fine. You know what I mean? But like, I was like at a bar. We went to a bar, and then she's like, "You don't drink, so I'm gonna get blackout drunk. Do you want to just hang out tomorrow night?" And I was like, "All right, sure." And then we like didn't, and nothing happened again. Cause I think she was like too hungover.
Right.
And her ex-boyfriend came, and they started like hanging out in front of me. It was like the worst. But it just says about me, and that's why I'm like trying to get off like pussy in general. That like I was willing to take that emotional shit. The next night, I was able. The next night, just because she was hot, to be like, "Hey, let's hang out again."
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
What? Where's my fucking
pride?
Where's like character?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know.
Well, but dude, because there's a chance you're gambling.
You're gambling. Yeah.
It's gambling. It's just like, you know. Look, I know I'm not going to win, but I'm going to put another 20 on 17 black because it hasn't come up in fucking 10 times.
Yeah, I said before I should get like a MacArthur grant for what I've done for pussy. It's been like unfucking believable. And the times I've humiliated myself in stand up are far less degrading than what I've done to try to get pussy.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stand up, it's like, oh, I bombed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't spend 4 hours like pretending to be into fish.
I've done so much bullshit for pussy. It's weird because I remember driving a girl like 2 hours somewhere and just fucking myself.
Right.
Just that I wanted her to suck my dick. And then she
did
sucked
she?
My Yes, of course she did.
Right.
Thank God. But if she didn't, it would have been a fucking, what a shit ride home. I've had those ride homes where you spend hours with some chick listening to her hopes and dreams. And then at the end of it, she's like, all right, I'm going to go. Or I don't feel comfortable. And you're like, all right, take it easy. And I mean, you just got
to. Then you go to a fucking parlor or some shit.
Is but that's how the sex addiction starts.
Because
then you feel like you have to go get released. Right. You have to go have somebody touch your dick.
Yeah.
So now you got to get a whore. Hopefully there's a fucking some big girl you know that you got to fuck on the line.
But don't you find that there's some guys who are just like, they're just dialed into that? Like, they're not experiencing the things that you're talking about. There's this, a certain brand of guys that just gets chick. They're just dialed into them a certain way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're able to
they're
pull them.
They're called handsome.
No, they're...
famous.
Well, they're able to pull them, even if they're not. You know what I mean? They're able to pull them, and even if they're not able to pull them, they just go to the next thing. They don't even... There's none of this, what you're saying. There's no stumbling.
Yeah.
There's no... They just go to the next thing.
Well, because I don't think that they're like... Because I this is why I think I have a problem. My self-esteem is so wrapped up into that.
Right.
You know? But then it's like, all right, well, then I wasn't writing bits today. I was too busy thinking about fucking, you know, fucking the new girl.
Right.
Yeah, but I really think that those guys invest a lot of time in the box then as opposed to other things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
those guys will go conversation.
Yeah.
They'll talk at 3 in the morning on Tinder or whatever. They'll have like an hour conversation at 3 in the morning. Whereas I think I would just be like, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
I'm sleeping, dude. I'm going to bed. I'm not doing that.
There are some people, and there's other people. Like, I'm going to my friend's wedding on Friday. He was like, you know, he was in a 6-year relationship, and then it ended because he found some fucked up. You know, she was like kind of cheating. I don't know, but and then like a year later,
he grazed over the best part.
Same text guy from work. You know, same old bullshit.
Found a cockpit.
I love you, fan.
He's in the chat room, by the way.
Yeah, he's in the chat room. Hey, how are you?
He found a cockpit, and it wasn't his cock.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was basically like that.
You keep looking for that freckle, but it's not there. This could be mine.
Yeah, but then he didn't like date or fuck anyone for a year, and then he met his new wife. And I was like, I don't know if that's the right, like, it's just two different ways to do it. Yeah. Like, 'cause if I get through a thing, I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna fuck my way out of this depression. And I don't know if that's healthy either.
No, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
That's when you're depression, this is what I found. When you're depressed and you have those times, and this is the hardest thing to do, just to sit there and feel it.
Feel it.
And not cover it with drugs or alcohol or pussy. Just sit there and fucking sit in it. Food. It's another day. Just sit there and sit in it. It's the hardest fucking thing to do.
I remember right after your breakup, you did our podcast. Yeah. You were just fucking in it. Just
fucking in it.
Yeah, because it's a form of torture, though. It's a form of sacrifice. It's when people give shit up for Lent. You know, though they flog themselves, they're doing it for the better good, and it's really hard to be depressed because you, first of all, you shouldn't just sit in it. You should talk to somebody about it. So I agree with that. You should deal with it and not act out on it. But you should talk to your friends. Yeah. Don't just sit in a fucking corner and you know.
You're right. Talking about, but I'm talking about like at night after all that shit has died down. You're after your sets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have the choice to like go out, get drunk, smoke, do whatever, or you can just go to your room and fucking and turn the lights off and try to go to sleep. If you can't sleep, just sit in it. Yeah, if you need to cry, you need to cry.
Just like, imagine you
all
in
the
your
pain,
room,
man.
Like when
just
like a
it.
Dead cops. I mean, if wife's looking as dead, like it's like Lethal Weapon. You're looking at her picture. You're doing blow off the picture, just like the lights hanging back. Yeah,
there's the gun in his mouth. Pull the trigger.
I think that your room has seen some really dark moments, Becky.
I live in a house on stilts. Thank you. Thank you. This is awful. Now I'm sorry.
Bobby, yeah, that was a good error.
I think I've redeemed myself.
I don't think you can take it off, but I was
that was bumming me out right there.
I was
going into depression.
That had a lot of effect on me. Yeah, it's like you're not funny. It's like, oh fuck.
But there's nothing better than when you're banging. When you're single and you're banging chick after chick after chick. There's nothing better for your self-esteem or just life in general when you're just fucking.
Yeah.
I remember when I lived in New York, I remember I was fucking a chick two doors down.
Great.
I had a chick come in from Brooklyn. I was fucking her. I had a chick from the Bronx. I was fucking her. I remember this chick I was banging. She was Japanese, Italian. I was like,
that actually doesn't sound like a good combo.
No, that's a great combo.
Oh,
yeah, I disagree.
Combo. Oh,
yeah.
It was Sicilian Japanese? Are you fucking out of your mind? Big fucking mushy tits. Real titties. Real titties.
Mushy's not my favorite word, but go ahead.
Nice little ass.
Yeah, he says, fucked up face.
I remember they used to park over by NYU over there, and I used to go, because, you know, I go over there and start making out with them and just finger pop them right there. And,
oh, man.
Oh, it was just dirty. Just fucking shit I would never do now to my wife. You know what I mean? I'm not going to finger pop my wife at a park.
NYU dorm.
Yeah. No, blow me on the stairs to the cellar as fucking Keith brings me up. Yeah, ready?
Has that ever happened?
Kelly!
Have you ever gotten blown on the stairs?
Fuck, you know how many times I got head right here in the cellar?
Really?
Yeah, there's a secret door downstairs. If you go down, if you come down, listening, if you ever come to the cellar, you come down the first flight of stairs to the cellar, and you take a right. Mm-hmm. Right to the right, there's a chain. And on the end of the chain, there's a key. And that key goes in that door. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows it's there. And if you open that door, there's like a little room with pipes and whatever is in there, right? There's so much of my DNA in that fucking room. I used to go in there.
Those poor girls.
Well, it's funny that I had so much play that I got a girl to go into a fucking dark room.
Yeah.
How long after you meeting them did you get them to go in the room?
Couple days, maybe a day.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like that night, the night of the show, and then
I've done that though. I walked off stage one night. Chick was in the hallway, and I just walked off and walked up to her and just started making out with her, and then went back to her apartment
talk to
and
her
fucked
before
the
then?
Shit out of her. Never. I don't even know her name. I didn't know who she was.
Wow.
She was just like, you know, when you see somebody watching you, like they're just like and I was having like a really great set.
Yeah.
And I just walked off. I was like, what's up? And I just grabbed her and started making out with her.
Oh my God.
And I took her hand and we went back to her apartment and I fucked the shit out of her.
That's great.
Yeah. She actually showed up like a month ago.
Oh, wow. Really?
Did she recognize you?
She came to my special.
Was it weird?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. It's weird. I mean, shit like that, but I'm so glad. When I was doing it, I felt, I don't know if it was Catholic guilt or whatever, I felt like, oh, I'm being a pig and a misogynistic asshole.
Right.
And I used to hate girl comics when they would like talk about those guys, and I was like, oh shit, I'm that guy, and I never felt like a bad person inside.
Yeah.
but my actions were so horrific. You know what I mean? But then I was, I'm so glad I did it, because now I'm a fucking, I am that guy.
Right.
I have a wife. I have a
Yeah, but you have no regrets, though.
No regrets.
That's why you don't want to be like 50 and like, oh, I should have fucking did that.
Yeah, then you rape and kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of my,
friends. As long as you're not lying to them, it's
like my
fun.
Friends are like 27, 28 now. They're getting married. They only have dated this chick since college. Yeah, like, you haven't fucking done anything. It's like, you're going to regret yourself at 50.
Yeah. Nah, that's good you get that out of your system.
Oh, yeah, dude. I used to have this 18-year-old. I mean, literally just, I had
to wait.
We're
getting younger.
I met her when she was 17. I waited.
He was like Ryan Reynolds in The Waiting.
I waited 2 weeks. I had to wait 2 weeks to fuck her, right? She used to come to my house and wash my asshole as I took a shower. She'd be outside of the tub. I'd be inside, and she'd like, I'd have to do like, I put my hands up like I'm getting searched by cops, and she'd scrub my balls and asshole from behind, and then fucking wash it out, and then eat my fucking asshole out, and take my dick from the front and milk me, like suck my dick from behind.
She must have been full Japanese.
No, that was a different one.
Yeah, I met some girl at a Starbucks who was like seven, who was like a knockout, and she looked like 22. She was 17, and I just walked away. But maybe you should have done the wait 2 weeks thing. But then I felt weird, like can't get her number. This is like rape if I get her number. So I should just like
no.
Hopefully she comes back when I'm 18.
You should just get wait.
No, you guys could bang at 17 in New York.
Yeah,
that's the legal age.
California is that?
No, here it's New York is 17, isn't it?
Like the sex I had in my 20s, my late 20s, early 30s was fucking ridiculous. Just fucking ridiculous. I mean, comedy got me a lot of pussy. It probably held me back a lot too, though, because I was doing it to be a rock star.
Right.
To have those benefits instead of, you know, I remember there was a point where I was like, I used to sweat every time I was on stage because I'd run around like a fucking lunatic. I used to just, wow. I mean, I'd walk off stage fucking sopping wet.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a point where I remember my hair went and I started shaving my head. And I looked in the mirror. I go, I'm not going to be able to run around. I think it was my third fat. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to run like this. So I better like start telling different jokes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, yeah, man, it's like, I mean, back in the day, man, pussy is, I mean, I think comics do get pussy, but not like band, not like rock guys. Rock guys.
But they don't get approached like that, what you were saying. I think
we have to work hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
They're on stage, they're creating music. It's just a whole different atmosphere.
Right.
I know a buddy of mine, he was fucking 5'2", but he got the most pussy in college because he could play guitar. Yeah. He played guitar and he played drums, and they had a talent thing at my school. He went up and fucking just, what song do you guys want to hear? Anything they wanted, he played on his guitar, and he fucking smashed the hottest chick that night.
Yeah.
It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. That was a good story.
Yeah.
You know, we should have helped him with that. I mean, that's how the conversation went.
Yeah.
Everybody just shut down.
Down.
We literally all took a break.
It was kind of like Mike's story. Everyone just be quiet.
We just took a break. We were like, all right, let's go. We'll have this one. I'm going to take a couple seconds, get a breather, see where my brain's at. That was your moment.
Thank you.
So I played this gig this weekend, which was fucking awesome. I smoke cigars. I got to slow down with these cigars, I think. Oh, do I love a fucking
so
band.
So do I.
Why,
really
you smoking cigars?
Yeah, I do.
Want to smoke one tonight?
Yeah, but it's too cold still, like when it warms up.
Go to a cigar
like
bar.
Yeah,
like
I
a
like
fucking
smoking.
Human being. Oh, no,
outside
human
of the cellar, like those chairs.
No, you fuck them. You go to the cigar bar like a man. Soho Cigar Bar. Or you go to the Macanudo. There's a bunch of places. There's a bunch of places in New York City. You just go get a nice espresso or a Diet Coke, sit down, light a stog up.
Yeah, I like
no?
that.
No?
Yeah, I would do it. But I'm used to doing it around spot, like, you know, do a spot, like smoke outside, go do it, come back. You know, you still got it there.
Yeah, but cigars are so big. How the fuck do you just smoke one between
a
spot?
They put them, Aaron Berg does that. He'll host a show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He'll host it. Outside.
He'll smoke outside.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, see, I don't want to get into that. That's smoking to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just a bigger cigarette, it seems like.
Yeah, I can't do it without like smoking it like a cigarette, so I just stop. It's like solvent.
Well, you can't inhale it. You just got to get used
go
to
by,
that.
Yeah.
I like making,
but I love them.
I like making it an event. You know what I mean? I like kind of, you know, we all, after the show, we go down to Soho Cigar Bar, we go to some Appetite, we shoot the shit, You know,
right.
Yesterday I went to my, I have a cigar club I'm a member of, Cigar Republic up in, like 5 minutes down the street from my house, which is, you know, it's just a fucking...
So how many are you smoking a day? I'll tell you.
I'm not smoking a day. I'm not smoking a day. I'm smoking two or three a week. Maybe. Maybe two, probably two, more like two.
Right. That's not bad.
I'd say three. Yeah, like yesterday I went up to the this place. It's fucking great because it's a members only.
Right.
But they have a beautiful fucking cigar place, store. And, the, you know, the dude Yuri, who's cool as shit, works there. And he'll fucking, he knows everything about everything. And now, you know, I brought my own bats in yesterday. I just bought a box of Monte Cristo whites. Nice fucking stoke, really mild.
Right.
Go in there, I had to do some writing. And fucking, saw, I just sat there with a fucking stoke, my computer, headphones.
It's great.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's great.
Ugh. And as soon as I was done with the cigar, I was done with the writing. It was almost perfect timing.
Yeah.
Folded up my computer like a man. Went home. My wife had dinner ready.
Number one manly thing to do.
Yeah. That was fucking great.
I have a question. This is like a nerdy comedy question, but when did you go from like knowing, like, you know, because you have that warrior period where you got to do like 15 sets a week,
yeah,
or whatever, yeah, to 20 sets a week. And then you went to that point where like, okay, I can take a week off now, or I could take a and just do gigs on the road. Like, I can be smart about this, where like, if I need to work on something, I can use these 2 days, but then I can take these nights off.
That's a good question, actually.
I was talking to Norton about this week because, you know, I was watching his act and I was like, fuck. Yeah. You know, I'm so in a fucked up spot right now because... You know, I, like regular people don't understand this. You guys won't understand this, but I had an hour that was ready to go a couple years ago. I just had this. It was from here to here, and it was around an hour, maybe 5 minutes over, 10 minutes over. But it was that was my hour, and I worked on it. And then, you know, whatever, it fell through, and we had to wait another year. But then, you know, my life changed. My son was born. I changed. I started talking about different stuff in different ways. So now I had this other 40 minutes or so of weird stuff, that this other hour that was kind of not done, that would have been like a second hour.
Yeah.
And when I did my hour special, I just did every single joke I had.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I had all these... It was like a mixture of 2 hours. So it was weird for me. So I had all this extra material, and now I'm out on the road, and I don't know where the fuck I am. Because I have maybe one or two new jokes that don't fit with this, but I don't have enough material to do a new hour.
Right.
But I'm getting paid good money.
Right.
So I have to come up with some... opener, or it's like you feel fucking weird.
Do you do some will you do stuff that's been on TV or special?
Yeah, I have no choice.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I was talking to Norton. He's like, yeah, you have no I have no choice either. You have to do what you
sucks.
Have to do. But he's, you know, it was good advice. He actually said, he goes, you know, you should open with the newer stuff,
yeah,
and then close with the older stuff. And you don't, you know, I always do an hour, but you know, you can do 45-50 and let the other asshole have, you know, 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes, which I really never do because I like doing the hour. Because for years, I thought it was your, and I still believe this, as a headliner, as the guy they're paying, you should do the majority of the time. You should be able to go from fucking 1 minute to an hour and kill, and you're a fucking headliner.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to come in, you can do 35 minutes and then crowd work for 10. I don't, what are you doing? I mean, I get it, you have to do it, you got chosen, but... That's not really headlining to me. That's fucking making it. But, you know, now it's like I have to, it's like he said, it was funny. It's like you keep doing the new stuff and slowly all of a sudden you're squeezing out the old stuff.
Yeah.
And then there'll be 30 minutes and then there'll be 40 minutes. And then you'll have to figure out an opener and an ending. And then you'll start, and then the new hour will be there. But it's a process.
Right.
But because we get so fucked up because the curve was set so weird, certain guys are just putting out hours every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that's not what I fucking do.
But it also takes, you know, like, till you're, I think, like, 15 year, Mark to be able to even do that, you know?
What, like, do an hour in 6 months?
I think an hour even 2 years, every 2 years even, you know what I mean?
Sometimes. Well, maybe yeah, 20-year, 15-year, but I think that there, look,
six
I don't...
6 months ridiculous, I agree. A year is ridiculous, I think.
A year is ridiculous, I think so, too.
2 years is ridiculous, I think. That's hot.
Two
tough.
Or three, I think is fine.
I think two is tough. Good, you know what I mean? I think two is good, but, you know, but the fucking crowds are so, are kind of demanding it now. It's like, oh, I saw you last time. You saw me a year ago. You want me to have a new hour in a fucking year?
Yeah.
It's like, I did three new fucking jokes, but they don't get it. But I think it's, you know, as it is your responsibility to, you know, kind of push that out and have something new. But, you know, it's crazy, too. The ones that can do, when you can take 3 months off of stand-up because you have that money. Yeah. Okay, you got millions or thousands, and you can take 3 months off and just go to the clubs and do just clubs every night, like Chris Rock, like Louis does, like all the comics do, and they just fucking do that, and then all of a sudden they got the new 40 minutes right there because they just did the clubs for 2 months.
Right.
Now you can start going to clubs. Not the theaters, clubs, where it doesn't, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you, I'll come in on a Wednesday and do your club. I'm going to work my hour. And now all of a sudden you start sculpting it. And then all of a sudden, but you have that money. Now guys like you or me, we're getting paid to go do 5 shows.
Yeah.
And they want you to do well.
Yeah.
You're there not because you're famous, it's because you're funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you bring some people in and you have to... Where do you just say fuck it and go do a new 20, a new 30? And if it's good, it's okay. Those people are like, yeah, it was better last time. That fear is always there.
Yeah.
You're going to lose them, lose what you've built before you can hold on to them.
God, stand up sucks, huh?
It's fucking.
No, but it's a gigantic puzzle, is really what it is. It's a puzzle.
It's like if you
keep reworking the puzzle. But it's a great thing that you got all that material out on your hour. I think we only used
an hour of it.
So there
see what
you
I'm
go.
Saying?
So what? It's all in the editing, though. You edited it down to the best. You threw everything at it, edited it down to the best, and then maybe you can do something with the rest of it. But it's important. The quality of the hour is important.
I have
not so much how fast you turn it over.
I think going back to your point, your original question, because I know there's somebody in the chat going, "That's not what he asked." the original question. I take time off. You know, look, I can come in and go to the fucking city every night.
Yeah.
But I'm wasting time. I'm taking up space. Because if I'm not doing new stuff, if I'm coming in just to do the old stuff, I'm wasting my fucking time.
Yeah.
But I do think when you have, like soon, very soon, I'm going to be coming in more. Like, I'll be coming in on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, maybe Mondays. And I'll be trying to go to different clubs because I need to start working on a new hour.
Yeah.
I need to start doing that. So I'll be coming in more. Yeah. But I think there is a time
where...
And
will you do 3 spots a night, 4 spots? Depends.
I'll probably do 2. Yeah. 2, that's it. I'm not running around. I'm not killing myself.
Right.
I don't need to do that shit anymore. I know if something's working or not. I know if something's working or not in one fucking spot. But... I think, you know, when my bills are paid. Everything's done. I know how to do this shit. So I don't need to run around and do 7 spots. I think that's more for social thing and to kind of be accepted than it is. I mean, there's 4 people at this club. Do you really know if the joke worked? Are you just running it again? I don't know.
Right.
Do you need to do that?
Right.
It doesn't hurt. Of course, it's fucking bad, but you don't need to fucking do that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Unless you want to show up because your friends are there and the club owner and it's another spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think 2 spots a night on a weeknight is good for it.
I think 2 spots.
Unless you're specifically running something for something, it's 2 spots is enough, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't give a fuck if you do 4 spots, but is that necessary?
It's just going to burn you out, though. The weekend, you're either headlining, you're in the city, you're trying
weekend,
to load up on spots then.
You're doing weekends. Like, you do those 6 spots a night Friday. That's like, by the end of it, you're like, I don't even know what I'm fucking saying.
I remember when I used to host, I used to fucking, like, the third show in, I'd be like, I used to... say the same joke all the time. I just do the same joke that I did already because I didn't know if I did it. And they're just looking at me. I'm like, did I do that? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what joke I'm doing.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Because it's too many shows.
What's the most shows you've done in a weekend? On a night?
Oh, in a night. It's, I think 6. I think 6 is the most.
Six. What about you? Yeah.
I think like 6.
What about you? Hey, Marina, Franklin just showed up. How's your vag?
It's my nostrils.
Oh, your mic.
Keep talking.
My nostrils, actually.
What's wrong with your nostrils?
I have a very severe case of sinusitis.
What the fuck is that? Is it catchy?
You okay?
No.
How would you have
to
get?
I just blew some stuff in my nose just now. It feels really good.
What?
I don't know. It had herb smelling stuff.
Just
in it.
Chloroform.
But he's trying.
Yeah,
he's trying
so
to
good.
Test
I
it.
Fell asleep for a half hour.
Fell asleep for it. My clitoris looked like it was hit with a ball peen hammer. What?
What that last fuck? Laugh was priceless. That was great.
Did you get diddled at the doctor's?
He was nice. I was told by my...
What the fuck?
Is there was some flirting? Did he have a thing?
He was kind of... You know what? I really wanted him to like me. What the fuck?
Just imagine being Dr. Zizmore.
I really did.
I don't even know what the... why?
Well, I have really bad health insurance, so it's like a referral to a very good doctor. And my doctor said since my insurance wouldn't pay for my high price nasal spray, which is Rhinocort Aqua, it's like $200.
Uh-huh.
She referred me to him, and she said he's not really nice to everybody.
Okay.
So I really wanted him to like me.
And he liked you.
And he did, and he was excellent. And he was. That's why I'm late, because I was like, I have to go to this guy.
Right.
If I don't get in, I'll never get in with this guy.
Right, so now you're in with him.
Are you
I'm in with him.
You?
What did you
he
have to
do? He was very cool.
Was he hot?
No. I mean, he's older, Indian man. I've never had an Indian man in my life, but he was very cool.
So you were attracted to him a little bit.
I wasn't attracted. I just wanted him to... I wanted my experience to be good. I wanted to go back and tell her that it was all right. Like
you wanted him to like you like somebody with a fucked up dog that doesn't like women.
Yeah.
No, but he likes you. That you wanted that.
I've hooked up with so many girls who realized afterwards they weren't attracted to me. After they fucked me once, they're like, oh, no, I wasn't attracted to him. I didn't realize that until afterwards.
So you're saying you don't like you would never bang an Indian guy?
I would. I haven't had it before.
Had it? Well, it's not food. There's one right
here. I haven't
here.
Had the roti.
The roti? What's that?
That's the bread.
Yeah. I've had the naan.
It's pretty good, right?
Oh, I love the naan.
Are you guys fucking right now? What is happening? So, did you do now? Did he get weirded out with the ear? He's an ear throat. No.
Yeah.
Did he get weirded out when you took your top off?
Yeah.
That freak him out?
Yeah.
Matt, fucking big doobas.
Do have huge ones.
You got huge. Huge
I have a
boobs.
Very good bra on today.
Really? What kind of bra is it? Is it like from Gizmodo?
Gizmodo?
Is there an iPad holder? What?
It does all kinds of things.
What does it do?
It'll tell you secrets. Touch me. Touch me there. I'm sorry.
Marina, what?
Is that nasal spray?
Is there something in it? You're acting a little fucking
rancid.
You're
a little high right now.
It feels so good.
What?
Nasal spray feels good.
Marina,
yes.
What did... What does your bra do?
Well, it lifts. It makes sure that I only have two breasts. I had three last week.
Are you okay? What the fuck are you saying?
I had a really bad bra for a good month and a half. I was wearing, I don't know if you noticed, I was wearing a lot of hoodies, thick hoodies where you couldn't see my figure. It's because I had a horrible bra. I had three tits on stage. I was like, it was horrible. Now I have two and they're lifted and everything is fine. I have a waistline again. It's wonderful. And it'll tell you secrets.
So I'm fucking weirded out. I'm fucking weirded out and half hard.
I have your rub, by the way.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Speaking of
Bubba, relax.
Marina came in here throwing bombs.
She really did. Thank God. No, I'm kidding, dude. You're great. You're fucking great, dude.
I have six shows though Friday.
Well, I think weekends though are different though.
Yeah.
On weekends, I think because you can make rent money, you can make bill money working in New York City on weekends. So I think you do Friday and Saturday, Sunday. If they're paying weekend spot money, you do as many as the fuck you can.
Right.
Why not? Why, if you're in town and you're not headlining somewhere, go do fucking five or six spots. Make that cash, which you, it's like we're strippers at the end of the... There's nothing better than having that
just
fucking
lot
lump
of dirt,
cash.
A, dirty money in your hand.
Yeah, but if but if you do more than two and then you load up on the weekend, it just burns you out.
But loading up on the weekend, I think, is good because then you can... What I used to do is I would break my hour up into 15-minute chunks and I would switch it around and try to see if the jokes in the middle could hold up at the beginning, right. and if the jokes at the beginning could hold up in the middle, and all of a sudden you're using your act like a puzzle, so now everything becomes stronger,
right.
So that you have a strong act through the whole set.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Instead of, because, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, you go up, especially me, because I fuck around with the crowd sometimes, mm-hmm. and hey, blah, 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 and there was a time a long time ago where I couldn't go back to my act because I'd go up in crowd work and then I'd try to go back into my act and it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
So I had to just go to my act and no crowd work, right. Until those jokes became fucking only thing I had.
Right.
So I can just do those and then I could add the other shit back in and then it just enhanced everything.
Yeah.
But I think during the week, two spots is good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, anything else, you're just trying to fucking be social.
Yeah.
I think. Why? How many spots do you do a night?
I mean, I'm in LA now, so it's like now I'm like 30 a month and that's good there.
LA is just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
everybody.
Like good.
It's like seven a week, basically.
If I'm not on the tour, and then May, when I'm just taking May off, I'm doing like two shows, and that's it, just so I can build up, so then I can come back and be like, hey, I need to do this, and you know, then I can ask for like all the spots again, you know?
Yeah, but you get bumped out there a lot. I mean, that's the thing. I remember when I was out there, just, you know, it's like, oh, Adam Sandler, Seth Green, Dane Cook, blah, blah, blah. This, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to put you up at the end, and there's four people. And
there's four people left.
And it's some type of showcase, and the industry's there, and it's like they're miserable. It's like, what the fuck?
And even out there, it's like, here, you know, like, I work like every club but the Cellar in New York, right? And in L.A., it's like, even the people, like, you know, trying to get into the store, like, the new people who got past there are like Al Madrigal and Anthony Jeselnik. These guys are already in such a different category than anyone, for instance, like who's like, hey, I just got my first late night set and I'm trying to get into the clubs, you know?
I think
like,
the store, though, you know, the store's changing, though. I think they have a new guy there that actually...
Who's great,
Who gets fucking stand up.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The other guy was on the another planet.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, another fuck. And I, you know, seriously, it's that club and other clubs in LA,
it's hard,
you know,
to get up.
Well, it's who you know and who you fucking blow for a long time.
Yeah.
Now I think this guy is actually the one who actually takes other comics' recommendations and knows stand-up comedy, right. And who should be the fucking, who should be able to get on stage.
Right.
And, you know, I went there and I, what was it, Maz Jobroni, right?
Yeah.
He brought me in when I was out in LA for like 3 months a few years ago. And he's like, Bobby should be working this club, and told the guy, you should put him up. And I was like, cool, solid, right? Because if I work the Cellar, if I'm a fucking regular here, I should be a regular there.
Right. Right.
If
I want to go,
that's it. You know, that's just fucking it. Yeah. If you know what I mean? Because there's no horse shit on at the Cellar. There's just no room.
Right.
Everybody who performs here is fucking good.
Yeah.
That's just it. That's why I love the Cellar. It's almost like a badge of honor.
Right.
There's no celebrity status just because you're famous.
No, I've seen it reject famous people. No, we can't. We don't have time. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think that that new guy out there kind of gets it, which is great. And they're actually got if you look at that lineup now, it's fucking that. I see it because I follow him on Twitter.
No, it's incredible.
The lineup's fucking crazy.
I mean, it's hard to argue when you're like, well, I mean, you know, these guys are at a different place than. What is there? There's no bitterness. It's just like, all right, just get to work. You know, that's it.
Some lineups you can't argue with. You look at the lineup, you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean? It's
like,
I
didn't get a spot. So then you look at the lineup, you're like, all right, I get it now. I get why I didn't get a spot.
Well, it was years ago. Like, I would walk by the Cellar and see the lineup, and I'd be like, all right, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, and then all of a sudden you see a couple other people get in at different places, and you're like, all right, I could be here. the mystique is gone now.
The mystique is gone for you.
It's gone for me.
But then they're gone, too, probably in a week.
And they're gone. Maybe. You know, who knows?
Yeah, you can get in and get out real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have your own coffee cup?
I
Do you have a day job? Were you at your fucking cubicle?
I love this coffee cup. This is the Starbucks Thermo, and it keeps your coffee completely hot.
Yeah, you know what else keeps your coffee completely hot? A regular coffee cup.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, what are you doing? You're getting over fucking a 7-hour period?
Actually, yeah. I like to like.
Well, you
sit
can
in
with that.
And,
that's,
yeah.
That's like an e-cigarette.
Oh, I love this thing. No, I lost one of them, and I tracked it down. The guy found it for me, brought it, left it at the cellar for me.
You tracked a coffee cup down?
This is a new one. This is a new one.
How did
how
you
much
track
does that cost?
It down?
This is like $22, $23.
How did you track
it
down?
I had it delivered. Well, I did the show, the Lucky Jack's show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I left it there, and I was so miserable about it, and I contacted the guy on Facebook, and I said, did you see if the coffee mug is there? Please get it for me. He did.
Yeah, oh, wow. He did.
And
you know that you talk shit behind your back, though.
No, he said he does the same thing, and he was like, and he came here, he left it for me.
That was very nice.
Really?
This is Lance?
Yeah, Lance. I love Lance. So, yeah, this is... you got to get one of these.
No, you don't.
Coffee gets cold very fast.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I drink strong black coffee.
Why? Because it's black?
Only in my coffee. Only in my coffee.
That's all you want.
That's how I kind of give back to the community.
your guys, you like half and half.
No, they're all the way white.
Yeah. Have you been with more white guys than black guys?
No. Mm-mm.
About half and half.
Half and half.
No, I've been with more black guys. I mean, just I've been around for a long time. But I'm like the vampire. I've lived.
You used to fuck children. You went to black guys. Now you're the white guys. Like, how long have you been around?
3 centuries. No.
My clitoris is named Lestat.
I could say like in decade
one second.
Thank you.
That's
terrible to be the vampire reference.
Fucking lesbian joke. Lestat. I love that you fucking did the accent too of a vampire.
I'm trying to like do this like a Vietnam vet bandana or something. Seen some shit there. I found fucking hard to deal with.
That's perfect for you.
Yeah, I'm not getting the spots I want, but I'm hoping one day.
I'm from Denver.
You look good with that.
Thank you. I appreciate him.
Dan saw me like sad. Like, what was I? I was
you
getting
were sad,
drunk, right?
No, you were wondering whether or not you should have sex with someone.
Yeah,
because
I was fighting with my boyfriend, and then right. I was like 2 wine glasses in, and
yeah.
I was having the conversation with you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate.
He's right around the corner.
I'm not the one burdening someone else. It was the opposite. I like that. Well, you didn't burden me, but it was nice to have someone.
Have you ever had sex with Dan?
No.
Have you ever thought about it?
No.
Could you have just changed the cadence of the no?
Like, no.
Just wait 2 seconds at least.
No. Actually, the second no was more...
It was like, shocking. Disgusted.
It sounded like more like a my God. My God, man.
Dear God.
Do you have a penis? No.
Yeah, it was that. It was that. It was exactly like that. That was
I love you, though. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too.
So grateful to have you.
We're not going to take a break. We're just going to keep rolling in here today. I'm going to do the ad right now. So if you just give me a second, we're going to pay some bills. check this out. Spring training is underway, and that can only mean one thing. Baseball season is almost here, and there's never been a better time to check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site, where you could win huge cash prizes every day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitment, which I love. And no slogging through a long season to collect your winnings. Just instant cash, instant gratification, the way we like it. Right, Mikey? Instant. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way you like your gumballs, your everything, right? It's like a new season every time you play, Mike. You gamble?
Not really.
Not really.
I don't have the money to gamble.
Well, here's the thing. You can do this every day, and it only takes a couple bucks. You don't have to be a millionaire to do this. Simply pick 2 pitchers and 8 position players, okay? Stay under the salary cap, which is cool.
All right.
And you could be on your way to a massive payday, bro. In fact, DraftKings has already crowned over a dozen millionaires. Imagine becoming a millionaire off of one of my ads. How great would that be?
That would be awesome.
Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you. And you, Michael, have cashed in at DraftKings right now. All right, so now it's your turn. Check this out. Hurry. Go to DraftKings.com right now. Now. And use promo code Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest on opening day. First place takes home $10,000. Well, that's a lot of money. Use promo code Kelly for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. Boom. Hey, real quick, I want to do everybody's shows. Everybody in the, I want to do shows in the middle now instead of at the end because I just want to end. We can do them again at the end too. We can plug them real quick. I'm going to be this weekend. I'm going to be at the Comedy Works in Albany Friday and Saturday night. A couple shows here, a couple shows there. So if you live in Albany or up in upstate New York or over in Massachusetts, wherever, the Connecticut, come over and check me out at a great club, Comedy Works, Friday and Saturday night. And if you listen to this podcast, here's another thing too. If you listen to the show, we got thousands of people. I need you to do me a favor. I really need you to go to my website and pre-order my special. It's $5. Just swipe down your fucking credit card. Stop being such a... I know the numbers, how many people listen to the show, and then I know the numbers of how many people pre-ordered my special. Get the fuck on it.
I dropped $50 on your special.
Did you see that? Did you really?
Yeah, I did. With my real name.
Well, it does. It takes.
That sounds like a cry for help. Notice me. I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Well, Allison,
what's your
real
name? What's your real name?
My real name is Amardeep, but no, that's never going to fly.
I'm going to throw up. What's your real name?
Amardeep.
Don't ever say that again. Say it three times.
But
Amardeep. Your fucking name is Amardeep.
Amardeep.
How'd you get Deepu?
That's my family nickname.
God damn. Deepu.
Yeah, it's a deep. It's cute,
a nice,
right?
It's a nice nickname.
Umberdeep. What is it?
Umberdeep.
Umberdeep. Amardeep.
What does that mean?
It means the knowledge of the sun.
Wow.
Pretty cool, right?
That's deep.
That's hot.
Stop blowing my fucking mind.
I really botched your special read, but
yeah, you really did with your fucking. Look at me, I did it for you.
Yeah. Well, I did it because Alison Rosen got booted off Adam Carolla because she never bought his book. Never showed any interest in her boss's material, no. So I figured I'd do that here, so you don't kick me out of here.
I would never kick
you
out of here.
Did you just call Bobby your boss?
I would never.
He's my boss.
I would never.
The Indian crime family.
I would never kick you out of here. First of all, I would never kick you off the team. You're part of the team for not buying my special. I don't pay you enough to buy my $5 special.
He's trying to guarantee job security. Next week there'll be a Pakistani kid in there.
You owe Deepu money now.
Hang on. Can you take that off? Oh, God, you fucking tight jeans are bugging me too, by the way.
We really let that moment sit, too.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I did until a week ago.
Oh.
So if you want to try some roti, we can go out sometime.
Or some naan.
Yeah.
On my cheat day, we get some garlic naan.
Ooh. Oh. Sounds pretty good.
Are you hitting on my fucking Deepu?
Spinach with lamb.
If you fuck Deepu and not me, I'm going to be really upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'll be upset too.
Deepu and I probably have more of a connection.
Why? Yeah,
first girl I kissed
was a
black
something?
Girl. There you go.
Really?
See, I think you just took it away with that comment.
Oh, great. You know Deepu's nervous because he's using his finger as a pointer. First girl I kissed was a black girl.
That's just like, I had a black one first. That's what that sounds like.
He's using techniques his dad told him. Use your finger, Deepu.
What was her name, Deepu?
It shows confidence.
I shouldn't say her name on the air. Just
okay, make up one.
Yeah, just say a name.
Like something that sounds...
Jasmine.
There. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the rice she smelled like. Anyways, go buy my fucking special. I'm sorry to bring up this love connection. Fucking Deepu bought...
My bra's telling a secret about you right now.
Oh, ooh. God. Wow. Hang on. I'm getting fucking hard again.
Show me the world.
You know, she's on something right now. Tomorrow when she's off, whatever she's on...
I'm on something,
she's going to blow you off. Poor Deepu's going to have his heart broken.
She's on Deepu right
now. Deepu, touch me here.
If you guys fuck, you need to tell me. I need to know.
So Marina, that's great for me. She's between black and white, which is Indian.
No.
Thank you, Bobby.
Should I get the bandana for laughing too loud at a racist joke? Anyways, my special.
He's still trying to get to his point.
Please go buy it. Just go fucking buy it. The fuck do I gotta beg you, my fans? RobertKellyLive.com. Go check it out. And we're redoing the t-shirts. Apparently people don't like baseball t-shirts anymore. We did this whole thing with the baseball t-shirt. And people, it wasn't selling that well. And some dude wrote me, dude, nobody wears that. It's not 1978. Why don't you get a mesh shirt, too, while you're at it?
I like all your fans sound like you.
Yeah, they fucking really do. Anyways, there you go. We're going to switch that up. So what else do we got? What do you got coming up, Michael?
I got House of Comedy in Phoenix, April 15th through 19th.
Hotspot.
And the Omaha Funny Bone, May 13th through 17th.
Nice. Omaha's great. Yeah.
And my website, MikeVecchione.com.
Boom. What do you got there, gorgeous?
Thank you for gorgeous. I'm in Boston, Laugh Boston, next weekend.
Have you done that club yet?
No. Well, I guest spot there years ago. It was really fun.
Now, I'm there soon.
Uh-huh.
And, is it a good place?
I mean, the guest spot I did was great. You know, I always get nervous. I think it's good. They've been doing really good in promotion. You know good. What I mean? They've been tweeting out like a lot.
All right.
And then I'm doing Dr. Grins the weekend after that. And then I'm in Missouri at the last weekend. Sanford and Sons.
What do you got, Marina, besides big titties, a new bra, and an Indian boyfriend?
Well, I have another bra. I have another one. It's beige. This one's black, just so
what
you know.
What do you have? Do you have comedy shows?
I don't have any. You know what? I don't have any road shows coming up. I just haven't.
Do you call them road shows? What are you fucking selling elixirs?
I just haven't.
Are you doing a hula hoop?
Oh, it hasn't been my focus lately.
What, comedy?
No, just getting on the road. But I will be oftentimes here at the Comedy Cellar. You can see me. I am the host with the most.
Titties.
And
I have to shit. Will you please speed this up?
Oh, I also you may be able to catch me on the Jim Gaffigan show coming up. I did that. I don't know when that's. It's
what
on
is
TV.
That?
It's on TV Land.
What is it?
It's Jim Gaffigan's show. It was originally supposed to be on CBS, but they didn't pick it up. So TV Land did. And
in the summer it comes out.
What's TV Land?
Oh, okay, thank you. I didn't know.
In the summer it comes
station.
Out. Yeah,
well, I know.
TV Land is a part of Comedy Central, I believe.
Oh, really? Okay.
TBS.
It was
part of TBS.
Nick at Night, but then it became like its own thing.
What did you do on it? Can I ask?
I play like a Catholic school. Assistant, like headmistress assistant. I'm very conservative and I have very big hair in it.
Right. Didn't you do something like that on Norton show too?
Yeah. Right,
don't scream.
Oh, sorry. I don't know why that came out like that.
I don't know. You got tone issues today.
That was weird.
You got fucking tone issues with poor Dan.
I was a school teacher.
You fucked in? No. You were a school teacher there too.
I was a school teacher for Jim Norton, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. And can I mention my podcast or is that inappropriate?
Why would it be?
I didn't want to be like shifting your fans over to me.
No, I want my fans to go listen to your podcast.
Well,
for
we
one
have
time.
A. Well, we have a somewhat like it's somewhat theme based. It's like women of color discussing hot topics. We have Esther.
I thought
Koo
you
this
couldn't
Friday.
Say that word anymore.
Women of color.
Yeah. Oh, color.
You can't say maybe colored.
Okay.
We have colored girls discussing
women of
topics.
Color is just
that'd be a great name for you. How many people would listen to that?
Colored girls
on
who
both
considered
sides. Colored girls, hot colored girls.
Some guy looks like Colonel. Sanders is hosting.
I like listening to this show. These color girls be funny. I thought they were just going to be yammering and talking about rights. But they be talking about dick. Indian dick. This one lady got Indian dick for the first time.
We did have Artie Lang on the show, actually.
Oh,
and that was
really?
A lot
that's
of fun.
That's the opposite of a woman of color.
Yeah. But we had
I was on the show with these black girls.
That's a great impression.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he does it so well.
There's big ashes and tits everywhere. I told them to come over to my house in Hoboken.
But we did that too.
One of them showed up and she sucked my dick in the hallway.
Oh. Yeah.
That was amazing.
But it's called, the show is called Friends Like Us. So.
Great, yeah, check it out.
Check
very,
it out.
Great show, and I'm very proud of
yes,
Marina.
Robert is instrumental in it being what it is. So thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. What do you got, Deepu?
I started a new business last week called Better Call Deepu.
where I set people up with video podcasting solutions, and you can email me at bettercalldeepu if you're interested.
If you have a podcast and you want to take it to the next level, make sure you do that, because Deepu...
I'm pretty good.
All the stuff we've done here is from his little Indian brain and his little thin Indian fingers. Hairy, but thin.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I worked with a guy last week. He paid me a nice sum, gave me some gifts for you and Joe and Dan.
Where are they?
I put them in the swag pile in the other room.
I know. You give them, I want to see them.
Show them.
You want them right now?
No, I want them next Thursday.
All right, so that means right
they don't have something.
Go get them now, you fucking, fucking sarcastic Dutch person. Anyways, what do you got, Scope?
April 17th and 18th, yep. I will be with Lewis at Joker's Wild.
Ooh.
And then
Who's headlining?
Lewis.
It was a joke. Oh. But you see how he said that quietly?
Lewis
so he doesn't offend both his bosses? Lewis. You said Lewis into a microphone.
Can you
quietly.
Do Lewis's yeah. impression? Can you do an impression of him or not?
I'm a fisting. I don't know. Sorry, Bobby. Sorry, Jay. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, Mom. Dad.
Luis Gomez, huh?
Man, that guy posted Luis a lot of pictures of his kid. Aww. A lot of pictures.
I love
his
kid.
You see that one today, the video he posted today?
No, it's just like five a day.
Oh, it's so cute, though.
I feel creepy. I've seen so many of them, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I have problems.
Yeah, I really do sometimes. His new thing is he Skypes his friends, and he'll call and have the kid there. So you got to, like, talk to the kid and him. He just wants to blow time. That's all he does.
All of a sudden my FaceTime keeps going off. I hear it in the other room and it's just off for days. It's Lewis.
Yeah.
He's started to FaceTime me. Like
with his kid?
Just a shitload of and it's like I guess he's got a babysit during the day and he gets lonely and the voice isn't enough. He needs to see your face. And on his Mac, because he has
this
a Mac.
Poor kid's gotta talk to all these fucking comedians.
Well, he's got a fucking burner phone, you know, for his cell phone. You know what I mean?
Oh,
fucking
funny.
Stupid asshole phone he's got.
He keeps asking me just stupid questions, keep me on the phone. I'm like, I gotta go. What the fuck? Get out of here.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to talk to you in life. Never mind on FaceTime.
Well, Lewis is starting a headline now. That's great, though, right?
That is great. That's why I was like, Lewis who? That's wonderful. I love Lewis.
Yeah, he is.
He had such a funny set last night at Gotham Comedy Club, too. I love this bit he did.
What bit was it?
About.
Did they give you nitrous at this place? Fucking banging Indians. You fucking love Lewis.
I do. I've always loved Lewis.
Oh, you're making me sick with your happiness. What bit was it?
It was the one about...
Yeah, it was a great bit. You don't even know the fucking bit.
Well,
you're just fucking jerking him off.
It takes me a while to set it up, but he's talking about how they said he was like, he's Puerto Rican, they said he was like white, and he says it's not, he's evolving, he just doesn't want to get stabbed.
That's his dad joke.
Yeah, that's his dad joke. It starts off very sad, like about his dad being murdered, and then, he says, I'm just evolving to not being stabbed, I guess, as a Puerto Rican. I was going to say, maybe you could take out the sad part. But it was really
No, that's his opener. This is my saddest joke.
This is my saddest podcast
right now.
That's how it starts.
Shut the fuck up. All right, who is this guy? Keith Army. What does he do?
Didn't want his name heard in the air, but
he doesn't.
Yeah.
All right, then fuck him. I'm not gonna do that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Oh.
You should tell me that first. But tell him I said thank you.
You show the gifts though, no?
Well, I can't. He doesn't want his name out there, and I think his name is on here, right?
Yeah.
We'll tell him I said thank you. We'll look at this after.
Yeah, sure.
I guarantee those shirts don't fit me, by the way.
No, there's like extra, extra, extra large. So.
Well, let's settle down with the fucking three extras.
We have basically the one that's just a circus tent. We just
I really, it's sad to say, man. It's like
You've lost weight since the last time I saw you.
Have I?
Yeah, you actually
Are you just fucking being LA?
No, I'm not just saying that. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm going to be on Suits next week.
Are you really?
I'm just saying about when you get impressed about shit that shouldn't be impressive. Give me a white collar.
You look like you lost weight. Can you look at this script that I wrote? I mean, can we have a meeting at a Starbucks?
Are you still working out?
Yeah.
I don't like the even look at
Whoa. She just said I had a nice build.
4A. Chat room fill in the blank.
You still box, Mike?
I'm going to go tomorrow.
Really?
Yes,
but
I
that's
am.
Not still.
No, I go, when I'm in town, I go. I work
out. What do you work out? Yeah. What do you do?
Just regular weights? I go with these guys. We go downtown and box with Steve.
I used to.
Yeah. I I started working out. I went to the gym yesterday by myself, and I'm going to work out tonight, and then I'm going to train it tomorrow. So I'm going to work out three to four times a week, and I'm going to. I'm back on the no sugar, no grains. I felt the fucking vacation fucked me. It fucked me. I went off the charts, off the rails.
Yeah, but you're the one who got me on that. I actually did, and it really
it
worked.
It works so really well. Yeah,
the stress factory with him. He's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Because I ordered like a chicken sandwich with fries. He's like, "You shouldn't even have bothered working out today. You shouldn't even have bothered working out." And then he goes through the whole thing, and I just cut
it's
it.
It's weird when
he's
a,
like,
"What
are you telling me? What are you telling me?
You put this on while you do me?" He's,
I can't hear now. He was telling me all the snags, though, too. He's like, you're going to need, like, almonds. I can't do you. I'm not.
It was good what you were doing. What are you doing?
I have to. It has to be organic.
I like how you go your own voice higher in your own voice.
It has to be the organic parts of the story.
Come on. You got to get to it.
No, he's like, you got to keep. Okay, all right. You got to keep almonds next to your bed, dude. You got to keep because you just start to panic. So you got to keep almonds next to your bed.
You can't have a whole bunch of almonds,
and you're going to have a withdrawal for a while. You're just going to. But just deal with it. Just deal with it. And you'll see it just come off, bro. You'll see it just come off. Yeah. And then it did.
It's always weird when a guy isn't out of shape, though, says that to you. So you're like, I don't know if
he was really
that out.
He was really lean back then.
Oh, okay.
That was when I was in shape. It was my fourth skinny.
I saw your headshot at a club when I was on the road.
I know. That's what
beautiful, beautiful man.
Here's what's fucking me now. My swag's getting fucked up because all the different size headshots that are out there. Because this fucking the show we just did at the Mahaffey Theater.
Yeah.
This is the 65th anniversary of this place.
Yeah.
They had custom jackets made for all the talent. Okay, so anybody who works there gets a custom jacket. And it's this really cool old-timey baseball jacket.
Mm. Yeah.
And I said it's going to be the wrong size because I'm the swag killer. And, you know, Artie, of course, they have his size, fits great. Oh, it's great. Look at this. But no, I used to have one of these when I was a kid.
Did they take the headshot from you were skinny and they thought that was it?
They found a skinny headshot of me.
Oh, yeah.
Which is they used in the ad, which fucking aggravates me. Because now all these chicks think this hot bald guy's showing up. I think Joe Coy's going to be there. And then fucking two ton Tessies on stage.
Every chick is like, oh, I got to fuck Joe Coy.
So that's true. So then and then I got my jacket fucking large, couldn't, and the guy still made me put it on, the owner of the place.
Oh no.
The guy who bought, he still, no, just put it on anyways, you take a photo.
Oh,
so
no.
I had to take a photo with this fucking leotard on. Fucking awful. I was so mad. It was such a nice jacket. That happened to me at the my first nasty show. They saw a skinny photo of me and they got me my shirt, and when it was a large, and now I'm a fucking double X and I couldn't fit into it. And it's sad too because I looked at jeans like around 6 months ago, when I actually 7 months ago I dropped 45 pounds last winter, and I was on that no sugar no grains and everything was going great, and then all of a sudden, fuck me, I put it back on because one word made me put one sentence. Leary shows up at the shooting date. And he goes, dude, I want you eating fucking donuts. Every time I see you, I want you a donut in your hand. Because it was for a fat drummer.
Right.
And I took that addict, and sure enough, I went to craft service without guilt every day. Oh. Wow. Cowtails.
Oh, I would love to have donuts every day.
I fucking
it's the
ate.
It's fucking worse, man.
The craft service guy knew when he walked in with the snacks, they'd come in. Literally, if he come right to me first. And if he didn't, I'd be like, yo! Hey.
Did you tip him too? Give him a tip in the beginning?
Fuck yeah. I put on all the weight back. And it was a fuck. And Leary told me, he goes, well, you know, I didn't mean literally. He was joking, but it was, you know, the pilot, you'll see I was skinny in the pilot. I was fat, but skinny. Then the difference between the pilot and the shoot date is fucking nuts.
I thought you were going to say the road. I thought you were going to say the road put it back on you.
No, but then the road did because I had I had that fucking, I could just do what I wanted because I'm the fat guy. Yeah. Stupid. I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Well, that Tim Ferriss diet is the one I'm on.
What's
You've heard that? That's the 4-hour body where you do no sugar, no carbs, Yeah. Just, you know, it's just that for 6 days, and on the seventh day is your cheat day.
And you blow an Indian?
Free health care.
Yeah.
And his father's a doctor, by the way.
Maybe he's the one I just saw.
Maybe.
Oh, that'd be around great. The
corner? All right, creepiest threesome ever.
Dad, get out of the way.
He was really nice.
I'm sure he was.
What do you do on the 15th?
On the seventh day,
you pray to Jesus.
You have all the food you want. You can have whatever you want. And it's something I did because I, for a long time, wouldn't eat anything for like years just because I'm like, I'm going to put on weight. So on that seventh day, I had things I never had before, like donuts or chocolate croissants but on that day, that's when I eat it all. But I get really sick. Like I make sounds at night. I can't sleep. It's horrible. I'm like a beached whale. It's awful.
I had Shake Shack for the first time in months,
yes.
And I got sick the next day. It was a stomach ache the whole day.
Because you're not used to eating
that. I'm not used to eating
that. Cholesterol. It has a lot of cholesterol.
Yeah. A lot of cholesterol, a lot of fat, a lot of sugar. There's a lot of sugar in that shit. The French fries and the ketchup.
And you wonder why like your moods are all over the place.
Yeah, if you don't eat junk food and you eat like one like McDonald's late at night, you'll be sick the next day.
Eating late at night's not good. Eating and then going to sleep, that's terrible.
That's terrible, yeah.
And also,
but it's supposed to work, this thing. The day you do the cheat, it bumps. It's like revs you up and then you drop weight really fast because you don't do it for the rest of the week.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to drop weight really fast, by the way. You're supposed to take it off slowly. And because that fucks
it's
up
not healthy
heart.
To drop that weight.
I don't know. All I know this is that I'm back on no sugar, no grains, and I'm fucking. I'm sad.
I'm saying that cheat day is so good for you.
I can't do a cheat day because I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Cheat day will fucking be a cheat month.
Right.
Cheat month. We both did the same.
But also like mindful eating too. It's like I'm from a family that you eat so fast, you just cram the food into your mouth.
Yeah, mine
and
too.
Then you know, it's like you got to take a bite, you got to put it down, you got to look out the window, you have a sip of water, you take a break, you pick it up again.
It should
take time to eat. You shouldn't just be shoveling it into your mouth.
What do you see when you look out the window?
I know. What's the looking out the window?
No, but it's
why do you have to look out a window?
Taste the food. And
is this the
1800s? I was like, what the hell?
Your family doing like the soup pantomime in front of a real like a good family trying to get food.
I see you looking at cows.
Is there a whistler in the background while you're having your meal? What the fuck?
Dude, what
looking
about
out the window?
I have a fucking massive computer in my hand. You fucking look at porn and Facebooks. I can play chess with Jim Norton. I gotta look out a window.
Yeah,
fuck your diet.
The
look out the window diet.
It's mindful eating, Bobby.
How about mindful comedy?
I would never think you're as funny as you are because you have the personality of an orphan. You know what I mean?
Oh, St. Germain, that hurts.
Ooh, call it out, Monroe.
I said you were funny, you know? That's the most important part. Just, you know, off stage. It's, you know, sobering.
Let's go to the chat room. Let's go to Deepu chat real quick. What do we got?
Steven Gonzalez says, Bobby's pocket flaps look like bacon.
I don't know why, right up here. I can understand that. Go ahead.
Derek Gatto says, I hate it when you sit through openers and then the headliner does less time than the openers.
Well, who does that?
I've never heard that
before. Nick Cannon. You know, somebody, I don't know. Like that would make sense, though.
They asked me, someone asked me back in the day to punch up his hour, and I refused.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
I was like, all right, the first 10 minutes, I was like, okay. All of a sudden, once he did Denzel for like 8 minutes, but...
Was he good Denzel?
He did Denzel for like 8 minutes. No, he doesn't. Yeah. Nick Cannon doing Denzel.
Oh.
You know, Dean Edwards does a great Denzel.
Oh, he does a great.
Jay Farrow does a great Denzel, too.
Yeah. What else we got?
I would do Dean just to hear him do that.
You'll fucking do anybody, apparently.
Not true, Robert.
Not true. I like that,
not true,
tone.
Robert.
Are you auditioning for Game of Thrones or something? What are you working on? Not true, Robert.
Thou art wrong.
What do you got?
Derek Gatto also says, I noticed a lot of comics just go straight to their homes after a gig. Why not explore the city you're in?
Ugh.
Because we've explored every ounce of it.
Through the people in the show.
No, but that's a good point. Comics should do more of that, I think. But it's like...
I'll explore the city you're in on the road.
Yeah, on the road.
Live a little.
First of all, I do that.
Right.
I fucking go to restaurants. I Yelp. Great. I always take the
restaurants is your first go.
Yeah.
Just outline your diet.
Where can I get
now?
A good pasta for you?
That was good because he was Irish.
Wait, can I get a good
I want you to leave. I want you to take off.
It's not her fault. It's a nasal spray.
Pasta bonjour, ye.
Sounds a little Russian at the end of it.
You auditioning for Rachel's show?
No. I can't even get an audition on my best friend.
That's fucked. Weren't you on the show?
Never.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You weren't on Rachel's show?
No.
Why?
Is this just a pilot or get picked up to a series?
It's a pilot, yeah. Oh. It's a pilot. Yeah. And I think she has no control over what's going on. Yeah, she actually said that to me. She was like kind of whispered to me as soon as I got
That's a tough thing.
But with a pilot, you can't have everybody, you know. It's just
I thought it was. Yeah, a pilot, you can't.
There's someone trying to keep me out. I don't know who it is, but when
stop
I find
that.
Out,
stop thinking that.
But she told me, she's like, you know what, as can and as soon as it works, as soon as we could find a place for a black person like yourself, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Jesus. Eh, that's just scary. That's sad.
Festival Julie.
But let me just back up here. When I go to a new town, I will Yelp the cool places to go as far as restaurants, and I'll always take the middle or the opener or whatever out with me because I know they don't go. Or I ask them where to go. When I went to D.C., what's his name? The
Stavros.
Kid, Stavros. He, me and him, when we go to Magoobies, we always go to Honey Pig. 24-hour Korean barbecue.
It's good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he's a younger version of you. Yeah, he's bonded over
have
that.
Have you ever, though, done that where you took it out of middle or a host and then all of a sudden, like, halfway through the conversation, you're like, this is a fucking brutal idea. Like, they're just like, this is a tough hand.
I'll tell you what happens with a lot of hosts and middlers is that you treat them nice or you take them out and then all of a sudden they think that you're best friends and they can say or do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And then they say some shit that you're like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they'll go over on their time a little bit or, you know, and then they'll say some fucked up shit to bust your balls and you're like, dude, shut your fucking pie. You know, just because we were joking around a little bit doesn't mean we've been best friends for the last 8 fucking years.
Yeah.
And then you got to tell them to beat it. And they're like, really? Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Because you know what? I learned a lot of headliners don't let the fucking, those guys in, even in the green room. It's like, fuck you. Nobody comes in here.
Yeah. There's like a middle ground.
And there's there's a reason for that because of the ones who've messed it up by talking too much.
Well, some of them don't know that, you know, they think they're the shit because they got comic of fucking whatever town they're in. Comic of
the year.
Best
comic in Tarrytown.
Yeah. Some fucking twat voted them best whatever the fuck it is and they think they're the shit because every time they go up they fucking crush for 20 minutes.
Right. But can't you tell by their act? Like, you can tell guys who are like doing real, not necessarily killing the hardest, but are trying to, they're trying to do real comedy versus the guys who are just going up there and just like trying to murder for,
where you get those features from the town and they were like, you guys know Ryan. They have like bits about people everyone knows by first name.
Yeah.
You know?
Stavros is actually a funny guy.
He's funny,
He's really good. He's funny. No, that was a statement. That was
a statement already.
You can have it.
But anyways.
Maybe it's middle.
I love going on the road. I find cigar bars now and that's my new thing.
Yeah.
I'll find a local cigar bar which is usually really cool, really interesting people who own them and go there.
Right.
And I'll find some type of cool restaurant on Yelp that, and I'll go have food that I've never had. It's a little harder when you're on no sugar, no grains. It's more expensive because you're going to have to get the steak or you're going to have to get the oysters. You're going to have to go a little higher end. You can't just go get the burger and fries at the fucking best burger joint in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to go spend a little cash, but it's usually
I was
worth
trying
it
to eat healthy the last few weeks. Instead of getting a pizza, I had to get like, you know, jerky or something like that. And you can get dollar pizza here. It's so 2 slices, $2. Yeah. Jerky's $9 at 7-Eleven.
So
there's some good jerky. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you got in there?
Yeah, like beef jerky.
Black Gospel says,
"Yeah, go ahead,
you guys know." Black Gospel says, "I took Godfrey to a bunch of parties when he came to Austin. 2 nights in a row, dude didn't thank me at all. Douche." Isn't that strange?
What do you want, a fucking note? I don't know. What do you want, a gift?
I guess, yeah.
Well, it's not that he's supposed to thank.
Maybe they were shitty
parties. How about the thank was that you got to hang out with Godfrey for 2
nights? Well, maybe it wasn't genuine than his offer if he was looking for the thank you.
Yeah, like
not everyone thanks you by saying it.
sometimes it's just by being there.
Yeah.
You are graced by Godfrey's presence.
Well, no, let's not get carried away.
I'm joking. This poor guy, I know, I'm going too far.
Lugged around that fucking yapping ass for fucking 2 nights. I'd have probably stayed a lot longer than he wanted to. So right. He does have a point. What else you got?
James Pasqui asks, is it okay to get into stand-up just for the pussy?
Yeah, as long as you accept the fact that it will end someday and you'll be old and there'll be no pussy and you'll just be a hack.
Yeah, the pussy has to be the stage, yeah, my brother.
Yeah, when you're up there fucking doing jokes about banging and you have no hair and you're fucking...
It's over.
Fucking a big fat nose and, yeah, nobody's going to buy it. You know what I mean? What else you got?
I believe that's it for now.
Louis J. Gomez, what's that last one?
Oh, Louis J. Gomez asks, where did they find square headphones to fit over Vecchione's head?
Oh, come on. That was easy.
Was that Lou?
Yeah, that was him.
Why the fuck wouldn't you read his first?
That's a good point.
You know, he's fucking on the show.
I don't support that comment.
Yeah, I don't support that comic.
What's that? I want his headline date pulled at Joker's Wild.
No, you don't. If you don't like him, let him keep it.
Switch the order. Scopo.
No. At 25, I'm doing a lot of, hey, how you doing, guys? All right. Hey. Great to be here.
The only reason that gig has is it's down the street from Frank Pepe's.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Italian section with one street.
Oh, yeah. God. It really is.
I don't think Frank Pepe's that good, by the way.
Fuck.
It's not that good.
We're not getting into pizza talk.
Bobby got emotional.
We're not getting into pizza talk.
It's not that good.
We're not getting into pizza talk.
Why? What's wrong? Is it emotional for you?
No, it's not emotional. He's just out of his fucking mind.
Yeah. You think?
I'm not saying that. You can say it's not the best to you, but to say Frank Pepe's pizza from the original Frank fucking Pepe's is not a good slice of pizza.
I said it's not that good.
To say it's not that
there are
good.
A lot better places in the city than
this is like talking about Aaron Hernandez.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole.
Like, very sensitive.
You really are just an asshole.
Why am I an asshole?
Because
I disagree with your favorite place.
Dude, stop antagonizing me. I know what you're doing.
What's your favorite place? What's yours?
I like Ben's.
There on that corner.
Ben's regular pizza?
Or no, by me, it's a place called Roses is really good.
I hope it burns down. What do you get in the regular chat? What are you looking at me like that for? Yeah, go ahead.
The
Bobby chat. Bobby chat, go. Just read.
Okay,
fine. Read it.
The host at Baked Potato in L.A. ripped into Marc Maron all night because he big-timed the show at last minute and pulled no show.
What the fuck? That's a great, interesting fucking thing.
See,
would you not bring that up?
It's a little antagonistic. I don't know if you want to burn bridges, you know?
What bridge am I going to... I love Marc Maron.
Yeah, let's start the Maron Baked Potato War. The famed comedy rivalry.
What is the Baked Potato, by the way?
It's probably some independent show in L.A.
So he went up and... What is big time? What does that mean?
Just was too big to probably not announce his... he's not going to be there and then didn't show up.
Oh, he didn't... They're saying he didn't show up.
He was booked for the show and didn't show up?
Yeah.
Look, man, Mark has... like all of us, he has fucking issues. Yeah. And you don't know what the fuck that was. Mark would not... He's a professional stand-up comedian. Yeah. He would not show up to big-time people. I think something probably came up. Anxiety,
he's got his
show.
Own show.
Yeah. He's always worried about his cats.
He's shooting a show right now, which I did an episode on.
All right.
Yeah.
Somebody's a real good friend of Mark Maron now.
Did you just do the camera smile?
I did a Roper. Anyways, so yeah, what else you got in there?
Tommy Stevens says, Fezzy wants to bang you, by the way.
What does that mean?
I think he meant Fez from Ron and Fez.
Oh, well, I'm that fat now? I became a fetish? I became a type of gay guy?
I love Fez.
I love
Fez. Is
that guy
still a virgin? Great.
I don't know, but I'm not fucking him.
I think you should.
Why? For the show?
For the show. Yeah. For him.
Yeah.
A very special episode. See,
a very special episode of Ron and Fez. Bobby plow fucks Fez.
Oh, God.
Why?
Sorry.
But what if I fucked him?
Grab him by the mustache.
Jesus Christ, why don't you fuck him?
I'm really getting into it.
I know.
You look like a young Fez.
Fez begins.
Before gay Fez. What else we got in there?
MVP of the chat room, Fuck Yo TV, says, when mad meets sad, that really is the Robert Kelly story.
When mad meets sad, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, did I talk about this last week, my therapy session last week?
Mm.
Yeah, last week I got real emotional in my therapy session for the first time in a long time. Because he asked me, he goes, when was the last, tell me a happy childhood memory. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh shit. Oh my God.
You have nothing?
I have the one I came up with, which is sad, is the one where when my mother, we moved out of my grandma's house with 13 of us, me and my sister, and she married the second stepdad, who we didn't know was Satan. And when I remember when they carried me into my room, because me and my mother and my sister slept on a mattress on the floor in my uncle's room, which I didn't mind. I just didn't know any better. You know, that was just a life. But I walked into my room, and I had a bed and a toy box. But I remember looking up, and there was a light. It was a chandelier, like a kind of mid-century funky chandelier. And they were like, that's yours. I go, what's that? And they go, that's your light. I go, that's mine? And wow. They were like, yeah, that's yours. I go, that's my light? They're like, Bobby, that's your light. It's for you. You can. And they showed me how to turn it on and off. And I remember I would just sit there and turn it on and off because I was like, I never had anything. You know, I didn't even have a bed.
Dude, so, that is the same scene as The Blind Side.
I was about to say, that's the same thing with the bed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, really? I remember.
He goes, I never had a bed before.
No, he has never had a room. A room? Yeah. She goes, no, a bed.
Crazy. It was crazy. That's that moment in my life. So now, it's weird because if you look in Max's room, there's this really cool light we have in his room, and I never knew it, but every time I would walk in, I'd bring him in. I'd be like, there's your light, Max. That's yours. And I would always say that to him because this is your. And I say that about everything. This is your bed. This is your, you know, that's your rock. These are your trees. And, you know, because I never had a house growing up. We had apartments and weird shit. Yeah. And then it made me bring up the time when shortly after that, when I never knew violence. I never knew anger. I never knew fear. I didn't know it. I just didn't have it in my life. Didn't exist. Regular stuff, falling, getting hurt, blah, blah. But I didn't have another human being scaring me or threatening me or abusing me physically. And then I remember when I was sitting on my beanbag and I woke up from a nap, and it went from night to day. You know, the sun was just setting. And I went into the other room and I opened the door and I saw my mother get punched in the stomach by this man. And then I saw my sister go to grab the phone and he wrapped it around her neck and threw the phone at her head. And then I started screaming, and then they grabbed me and ran into my sister's room, and I shut the door and I held it because I didn't want them coming in. And they were all crying, my mother and my sister holding each other. And he was screaming, and they kicked the door through, his foot through. I went flying, hit the wall, and I pretended to be hurt because I thought I would play possum. I just didn't know. And then he screamed at them, and then he screamed at me, you're not fucking hurt, you little fucking bastard. Get the fuck up. And I pretend I was just crying. And then he slammed the door and walked out. That was the first time, that was from that moment on, from that second on, my life has never been the same. My life has been, I've been afraid of people. I've been afraid. I've been in fear of everything being taken away. People disappoint me. And through that, I learned that anger is the only way to defeat anger. That's what I learned from that. So when I started to get angry, it could combat that, his anger. Right. And that's when, it was this fucking sad shit. And so this guy, there you go.
So now that you know that, though, like after in that therapy session, did you find, now that you're aware of it, you can turn it around with anger?
I'll tell you what it did. When you're aware of where your anger comes from, anger is fear. That's all it is. Anger, you're afraid. That's all it is. Anger is fear. That's it. So, yes, now, like me and my wife got into a fight this weekend. And sometimes they get heated. You know what I mean? I get fucking, because she'll do things that are very passive aggressive, very fucked up, and there's no need for it. And it's manipulating and kind of weird, and it makes me go, you know. And now, this weekend, I was like, hey, can you not do that? You know, because that kills me when you do that. That really fucks me up. And I did that with a friend of mine, too. We got into a little fight. And I was able to, instead of fuck you, fuck him, and fuck that, I called him up and said, You know, dude, that fucking kills me when you do that, man. I'm sorry. I know it's not supposed to hurt my feeling because I'm a fucking grown man. I know, and we're comics, and we're supposed to be macho, and but it fucks me up. Yeah. I'm sorry, it does. Yeah. I got fucking issues, and you're my fucking friend, and that fucking hurt me. And it was like, dude, I didn't mean. And then it was over. It was like I did this because I was like, oh, I thought you did that, and it was a miss. And then and it was over. And then he, you know, it was a. Now, what's weird about that is that we're somehow tighter. This somehow the bond is better.
Yeah.
Right. Through that honesty.
That directness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm sick of walking around with resentment. I walk around with a lot of resentment. I think in this business too, we hold on to that. It somehow fuels what we do too, which is hard to.
It works in the beginning, but then after a while, it starts to become a hindrance to everything.
I think, yeah, it does. At the beginning, it kind of gets you up there and gives you attitude and fuck this guy, and fuck that.
And then after a while, that's fuck you is not enough.
Yeah. I think you can still own the psychology of anger. Yeah. I think you can still own the psychology of resentment and talk about it. But I don't think I can't walk around with it.
Yeah, because it eats you then.
It's like, yeah, there's certain people I don't talk to anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't hate them, but if you want to call me, great. But if not, I'm cool too because I can't fucking have that anymore. Right. But there's certain people that hey man, it's cool. Let's just move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes such a long time to get there too. Like I watch my young boyfriend go through it and I'm watching him grow and develop. It's a beautiful thing. But I keep telling him like how to be direct because where I'm at, I'm able to do it now. But watching his like stages of it, I'm like, oh my God. I was there like, you know, 20 years ago. Just trying to figure it out, how to just say exactly what I mean to someone.
Yeah.
And like watching him go through it, it's like, it's kind of painful, but it's like, at the same time, I'm like, you'll get there, you'll get there.
Well, you're afraid of not being liked.
Right.
You know, when you tell somebody, hey man, if you're honest with somebody and say, hey, I don't like that you did that, you're afraid of the consequences.
Right.
You're afraid of being alone. You're afraid of them telling other people. You're afraid of walking into a room and people going, you know, oh, there they are. And that does happen, especially in this fucking shit business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there is a point where you have to, you know, when you can rely on your talent or your knowledge of how to write a joke or write a script or act, and you can rely on that and just say, you know what, fuck these people or fuck this stuff.
Yeah.
I need to be real. I need to just, whatever the consequences are, because for my sanity, I need, for my humanity, for who I am, I need to, you know, just be honest. But that's a hard thing to do, man, because if anger is a fucking drug too. Anger feels fucking awesome. Screaming, yelling, fuck them, fuck this, I don't know if there's any better release.
Yeah.
You know, because I get angry a lot, but it's when people disappoint me that I have high expectations for. That's why I get angry at my wife. The expectations are so high. And then when you don't do it, you don't like me as much as I like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I really expected you to do this, and you blew it off or fucked it up and didn't. So because I wouldn't do that to you.
Right.
Never would I ever fucking do that to you. And somehow you did it to me, which means the level of like is different. And that fucking kills you where you're like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. You know? But here's the thing. I don't want my son to see it. You know?
Yeah.
Because I saw this thing with this guy, this commercial where the dad was doing something and then he looked over. He didn't see it, but the wife saw it. The kid was doing everything the dad did.
Right.
And I was like, that's fucking real,
man.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah. But you know, you turned out okay with all the fucked up shit that happened to you.
Dude, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I still have a shot of getting fucking through.
No, but it's an addictive energy. Anger.
I still have a shot of fucking in some traffic jam or.
That's it.
Yeah, dude. I flipped out at the airport last week. I fucking almost murdered a guy because he hit my car. He tapped on my car.
Was he apologetic at all?
Yeah, he was apologetic. I was too, because I don't like anger. I'm really not that guy. I think anger is a sign of weakness.
loss of control. Yeah. Yeah.
It's an addictive energy, though. Once you get in it, like, it feels like it's almost like you want to feel more
right.
of it. It
also,
feels,
like,
yeah,
I feel
feels,
like all
and
the,
you feel justified, especially when you feel justified in it.
I feel
you
like all the real,
justified is a tough
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
All the real dangerous people too aren't like the guys who shout like Joe Pesci. It's always like the Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
They just kind of stare at you for a while, and they're almost amused at your the fact that you're upset, and then they'll just
those are very
fucking take
people.
You out.
That's
you
the
know?
Quote from American Gangster: "The loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room."
It's actually from a pimp, cool pimp something. What's his name?
I'm not helping you with
cool
this.
Something pimp.
I'm not cool something pimp.
You sound like
it's,
my mom coming up with a pimp name.
Well, that's what I saw.
Cool something pimp.
Oh,
you know, cool something pimp.
I want
the one
the
kids are talking
isn't
about.
Isn't that a new cartoon on BET?
Cool something
Yo,
pimp.
Yo, this Sunday, cool something pimp teaches the kids again.
Oh my God!
How to make a dollar out of 15
it's
cents?
It's so important. I wish I could get his name, but he's the one where they all even
Slim.
Slim. Yes. Slim? Yes. Slim what?
Slim what?
Pimp Slim.
Slim.
I can't. Cool Slim Pimp.
Iceberg.
Iceberg. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. You, it is kind of.
I feel weird schooling her on black.
Iceberg Slim.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny though because when you when
he
you
said
like
the one in the room who talks a lot.
Shut up.
He's a
we
piece
got
of
it.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, no, like hearing like because I'll do that.
I have a better one. Ready? The unoiled wheel squeaks the loudest.
The unknown wheel, yeah.
I'll take the bandana. I'll have that.
I don't think that was a joke, though, again.
I was trying to get something.
I was watching last night. I was watching a documentary on Otis O'Toole, you know, the guy who went around with Henry Lucas, the serial killer guy.
Yeah.
And hearing, like, again, like, hearing us bitch about shit, like, fuck that motherfucker, and then hearing him describe his crimes where he was just like, yeah, and then I just took him in the car, and then I shot him in the head because he was talking to, like, it was just so calm. And like, and you're like, oh, that's the motherfucker that you got to watch out
most
for.
Most serial killers are like
guy.
The pleasant guy. I mean, you never expect anything. Yeah.
There's
from
some guys who are just, you know, completely.
I mean, don't get carried away. I do think that, you know, these situations can always go fast and go quick when you're yelling. Like, me, you know, Mike, fuck you. And you're like, fuck you back. All of a sudden, we're rolling on the ground. I hit my head. I'm dead.
Right.
I mean, I mean, serious. My kid has no dad. Blah blah blah. And you know, you're sitting there feeling. So it's like these. That's why I hate. I don't watch these fights, man, on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can't watch them. I can't watch a gang of people beat up a mother and a kid,
or that's
when two people fight. I don't.
Gangstar.
I like bully shit for some reason. I can watch that because I like when a bully gets
his ass kicked.
Yeah, I love that.
There's a morality thing there.
Yeah, but with two guys fighting and one gets knockouts, it scares the shit out of me, man. Because it's like that. Yeah. That's so dangerous.
I like those girls in McDonald's, those young girls fighting in McDonald's.
Oh,
did you see that?
That
and then
that
St. Patrick's Day parade, they had the guys fighting outside the bar.
Oh, I saw that. And then
I didn't see that.
Well, it's weird now, like, because back in the day, I feel like everybody knew how to kind of fight. And now today, either you don't know how to fight or you know how to kill somebody because you're doing like that UFC shit. Like, you know, I can take somebody out in two punches or you're like slapping somebody's
ass.
It's
not even that. It's just like there was a sense of presence, I think, before where if there was a fight, everybody's just like, let him go at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, there was a fight in my
high
school.
And there was always that one guy who said, all right, enough.
Yeah, let him go at it. And then when the guy said, all right, it's over now. But now it's like there's no rules. Like, there's fight between two people, and then one person's friends will just jump in and then beat the guy down and stomp him. He'll be out, and they'll still be kicking
him
in the head.
Can I say something? I think that happened. I just don't think we caught it because of we didn't have video cameras. I remember when I was growing up, when I hung out drinking, I remember, dude, there was a guy in there was a guy in front of us on a bike at a red light, and we beeped our horn because he was in the way, and he gave us the finger. And we just got out of the car and beat the fuck out of him and then smashed his bike and ran it over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, if they...
Was he passed out, like, beaten to that
point? Yeah, but was he...
He was in a bush. Yeah.
Was he down on the ground, knocked out, and you're still kicking him?
I didn't, because I didn't have that in me. Actually, I used to get hit because I wouldn't do shit.
Do certain stuff.
I used to get beat up by my friends. The guys I hung out with would punch me in the fucking face
if you
for not being that guy.
Right. Don't be
I never,
a pussy.
I never had that in. Yeah, for what?
Like, don't be a pussy.
Yeah, I thought you said for being a pussy. I was like, Jesus, scumbag. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't grow up in Queens. Fucking bubble butt and a gun. I remember that. It was fucking terrible. I felt shitty. Here's this fucking guy on a bike. We were beeping at him, just being dickheads. We were laughing too, and he was like, "Fuck you," which we should have took.
Right. Because
we're being dicks. We're being out of the car. Just. Four doors open, Monte Carlo, fucking beat the shit out of him, ran his bike over, that's it. We used to do that shit all the time.
Yeah.
I think that shit happened back
then.
That's
in the like
day.
A scene from The Sopranos. I just realized we're like AJ and his friends.
Goodwill Hunting.
We used to beat guys up. Like people would walk through the park late at night and we'd just beat the shit out
Why?
Of them.
Why?
I don't know.
Black guys? Did you get black guys?
No, we didn't
guys?
Hang out with black people. What are you, crazy?
I mean, did you beat them Boston. Up? Did you run after them?
What's weird in my neighborhood, in where I grew up, black, everybody had a park. You understand?
Yeah, I remember
So the
parks.
Italian guys had park, Tufts Park. The Irish guys had North Park. Then there was
the black guys had Cool Park.
No, they had they had Duggar Park.
Oh, okay.
They were at Duggar Park. And then
sounds
mixed
like the
kids
shittiest of the parks.
Yeah, it does. For
it was it was the black part of town. Yeah. And they had basketball hoops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No nets.
But yeah. We never really fucked with the black dudes. I fought a black guy. I remember the first time I used to talk to Patrice about this. The first black guy I fought was, his name was, I forget his name. It was this thin black dude, and he was a cool kid, but we got into a fight one day. It might have been my fault. I might have said something to him, and we fought, and he wouldn't go down.
Oh, shit.
I thought black people had different skin, because I kept hitting him, and he kept getting back up. And fighting and punching me. Yeah. And we had to come to a draw because he would not fucking give.
And you were bigger than him or no?
I was big. He was thin and lanky. Mm-hmm. But this motherfucker
could take
just
a hit.
Take a hit and give a hit because he was hitting me pretty good. It started flipping. There was a point where I was like, I'm getting tired and he's going to fucking outlast me. So we just became friends after that. But I remember I was like, I went home. I was like, black people have different skin. Because I hit him with everything I had, and usually that worked, and it didn't work with this motherfucker.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the only black guy I've ever fought in my life. And we became friends after that. And then I dated Jeannie McKay, my first black girl. She was smoking. Glasses, nerdy chick with a little pom-pom on top. She had a big high ass because she was looked like a runner, like a fucking Tootsie tribe.
I fought once.
Who'd you fight?
I fought.
What the fuck was that?
No, you just look like you couldn't believe it.
Well, I can believe it.
I fought in ninth grade.
Yeah.
I picked a fight with the girl. I tell it in my act, but I actually do it different than it actually happened. Yeah. I started it because it was such a tough school and I wanted to prove that I could fight. So I picked this girl. She was really unattractive, and she was very like nerdy. She looked scared.
Oh, you're just a bully.
I picked her,
and she wasn't.
And she knocked me the fuck. Like it was
she
like
knocked you out.
She knocked me out. Like it was like I went after her, and I think I knew the thing was to say was you know you finna do something. Like I would kind of push her to start it.
Did you get ghetto?
I did. I tried. I wasn't.
Like how?
And then she just
I'll be
you
her.
Up.
You be you. Right.
Well, first I had my T-shirt over my head. I didn't have titties at the time.
That's a nice T-shirt.
So I had like a white. You know how the guys used to do that with their T-shirts?
Yeah.
I had that, and I was.
I'll be her. You be you. Ready?
I was like, "What'd you say about me? I know you said something.
I didn't say anything.
No, what'd you say? Huh?
I didn't understand.
Come at
what
me.
What did you say?
You finna do this?
I don't understand.
You wanna fight?
Finna do this? I don't know
what you finna do.
I don't know the finna do.
Come at me.
I don't want to come at anybody.
I said, you know what?
What?
I'm going to knock you out.
Oh, really?
And that was it.
Funk.
I went pretty flying.
Fucking woke up with a dent in your afro from lying on it for half hour.
I remember there was like scratch marks on my face. And we were in the principal's office. And we became friends there. And I said, you know,
it's
just
weird, right?
It's business.
Friends, yeah.
It's like, yeah,
it's just
business. You had to do this to, you know, kind of prove.
Crime
what was the last fight you got into?
I was in college. And I was in college, and somebody called my girlfriend fat at a bar. I was gone. I was taking my sister home, and then I came back, and she was crying. My friend was with her, and she was crying.
Was she fat?
No.
Oh.
And but she was crying, and I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "Some of these guys." And then my buddy started jawing with them, and then we got thrown out. Okay. So then I told my buddy to leave.
Did your fat girlfriend come with you? I'm kidding.
He's about to fight you right
now. It's
not
your girlfriend right now, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
Now.
Fuck her.
He's getting angry, though.
So then I
girlfriend just eating caramels in the corner.
My buddy, I told my buddy to leave. I didn't want him to get into a
They called me fat.
I didn't want my buddy to get into
ice cream sandwich.
She just fucking showed a fucking large cheese.
She wasn't fat. She wasn't fat.
Not to you.
But you know,
you don't think you're fat.
Any girl that you
was she stocky?
No, she was stocky.
A little
field
thick.
Hockey.
Not at all. But you can't call any girl.
Mike's getting mad again.
I'm getting mad because you're not letting me tell the story.
Yeah, well, finish the story.
I'm sorry.
Well, was she just at least a little thick?
She wasn't thick.
She was fat. Go ahead.
Okay. Pretty girl. She's a pretty girl.
I wonder where I can
tell the story. Go ahead.
Why you guys are doing it. All right. So my buddy, we get kicked out. I tell my buddy to go home because I don't want him. There's a lot of them, and I don't want him to get. It's my problem.
Right.
So he goes home. I take her home to my house.
Feed her.
I know. Come on, Father.
Ahead, no, Mike.
Baby,
I'm so hungry,
baby,
but
baby, I put your cereal bowl on the floor next to the fridge. It's full of Captain Crunch.
Thank you, baby.
And when you're done with that, I left donuts on the counter.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Go ahead.
I take her back.
Yeah.
I leave her at the house, and then I drive back.
Right.
And I cut the lights, and I just wait for the guys to come out, because I'm like, I'm going to take a beating probably.
Right, yeah.
So if I don't want her to see it. I don't want my friend to see it. I'll just take the beating.
Uh-huh.
And I cut the lights, and I waited for them.
And what
and
happened?
Then as soon as they came out, I just attacked them.
Who'd you hit first?
Just the guy that she, because I was walking her through the bar. I was like, point them out.
Right.
So she did. She's like, she was in tears, like she was barely, like, she's like, I think it was them. And so I'm like, okay. So then, boom, came back, and I just cut the light, and I waited, and then I attacked them.
Jesus.
And I thought I was going to take one, because everybody came to the front of the bar. Yep. And
did they didn't do anything?
No, I was getting the best of both these, because one guy was trying to hold me. I was, like, punching the other guy.
That's right, you were a wrestler.
Then, yeah, so I was going at it pretty good. And everybody came to the front of the bar, and I'm like, here it comes.
Yeah.
And they were like... They were just like trying to calm me down, so I'm like, "Oh, I thought this was going to be it.
Yeah,
I thought I was getting my face kicked in."
Right.
So I held my own, and then I heard sirens, and then I ran.
Right. Was that was an ambulance going to your house because you had a heart attack.
When you got, I just imagine you getting arrested, and your girlfriend shows up and is like, "I want my son, Gilbert." You know.
So that was it.
You went home, and then
you're one of those silent guys who can like kick people's ass.
I don't think I can.
Mike
I'm not,
doesn't usually fight.
No,
I wouldn't.
Mike's
fight.
Actually stopped me.
No, from here's how I fight.
Mike. I'm not fighting.
Yeah. I find a pipe.
Yeah,
I find a pipe. I hide it around a corner near me, and then he comes up and goes, "Hey, what the fuck?" And I go, "Mike, I'm so sorry." I bow my head too, like an Omega male. I go, "No, look, Mike, I don't want any trouble. You're a good guy. I've had you on my show. I think you're so whatever it is, I'm sorry." And he goes, "All right, motherfucker." And he walks away. And as soon as he turns, you hear king. You hear just a king as I fucking smack the base of his skull.
And I'm not a fighter at all. I'm very capable of getting my ass kicked.
Because for some reason, and comics always talk about like who's the toughest guy, and you're usually in the top five. As far as
Dante,
I disagree
Dante
with that.
Is definitely the top.
Dante's one
carrot top.
Well,
because he's ripped.
Well, Dante also talks about separating the moment between fear and fighting someone, and that's why he learned.
That's why
he does that, because he wanted to get rid of that moment, that pause when you think about hitting someone, and that he just wants to go right to it.
Ooh,
there's
Dante?
No hesitation. Yeah,
not anymore.
There's no he's got some recovery to do.
Is
but
right.
Yeah,
fatso, the little skinny fat, whatever he is, black, whatever the fuck he is, fucking Islander.
Has
fucking four rip
genie.
Quads.
He's that. Yeah, he doesn't have that like weird water world jewelry like the bad guys. It's always like this weird earring.
Well, it's funny.
He's gonna murder
he was
me.
On that show. He's Bobby, I ripped four quads. I have eight. I'm missing two on each side. And then I'm going, how did you do that? I don't know. I look in his fucking Twitter. If you look at his Twitter, he's fucking squatting seven.
He's unbelievable.
100 pounds?
Seven
plates
on each side. On each side.
Yeah. I've been with him when he
That's why you have no quads, you fucking idiot. You're in a basement in the ghetto. fucking trying to impress some asshole with tear tattoos.
Fight, huh?
Yeah, he used to like bare knuckle fight.
There's a lot of guys I think who were tough. Gary Goldman, I think, would be very tough to deal
with. Yeah, he'd be tough.
Very big.
Yeah, big guy.
Very
Gary Veeder.
Lenny Marcus. Lenny Marcus would be.
I think Soder. I think Soder would be a tough
one. No, you could beat Soder for sure. Yeah.
Soder talks about not even having
I think Soder catches you with a couple of those right hands. Let me tell you something. A bad problem.
No way. No, Dove Davidoff, yes.
Oh, Dove.
Well, Dove can throw his hands.
Yeah, Dove's dead. Let me tell you something. Soder would fucking do some weird grabbing thing and then throw a punch. You hit Soder with one nice fucking solid right on that flat chin of his. He's out. He's done. This is why Soder can't fight. He's a good person. As soon as he hits somebody, he's either going to feel bad or he's going to get hit himself.
I think that's wrong. I think Soder has another gear. I think he has a gear, and I think I think he's a pretty powerful guy, and if he makes contact with you with one of those long overhand defensive end right hands.
Have you seen his fucking little fists? Yeah, Don has bigger fists than Dan Soder. Okay? He should get his nails painted. I said it. All right, him and DeRosa could point for a living.
How about Luis J. Gomez?
I mean, Soder could definitely beat DeRosa, that's for sure.
Gomez, oh yeah.
Gomez would be tough.
Gomez is a problem. Yeah, he's got all that kid rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus he's got career rage. Seeing all his friends pass him. Then he's got fucking Bob Kelly rage from fucking pissing me off and me fucking shunning him from my life. Dude, what the fuck, man? You were my meal ticket. Now I have to hope Fat J makes it.
I always thought you and Greg Warren have that like, silent.
I was just with Warren all weekend at this tournament. He's the one who got me into the tournament. He's an All-American.
Yeah,
he knew he's that Foxcatcher guy. He was telling me.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Hey,
he downplays it so much because he's such a good dude. But you don't get seventh in the country from being.
He was seventh
in the country.
He didn't tell. Wow, that guy's
in this country.
Unreal.
In the U.S.
Okay, then
unreal.
Hey, when was the last fight you got into, Jesus?
I mean, I got jacked up on the street, but that wasn't like a fight. It was just me and Neil Stasny got punched in the face.
When?
And then, this was like years ago in Bushwick. We got punched in the face. It was like pathetic. Like, all of a sudden, me and him were talking. I just see this huge fucking black fist deck him in the face. Glasses go off.
Why is he gonna be black?
He falls up. I was just trying to story because I'm racist. But he falls down and like... I turn to this guy and I just go.
He just side-eyed me. Like,
it was so surreal, you know what I mean? Because it just came out and I turn to this guy and I go, "Hey man, what the fuck?"
Is
and then he like,
said?
"Yeah, decked
that,
me."
That deserved another one.
Yeah, and he just decked me in the face. It didn't hurt, but then I just saw a car with all his friends two fingers, and I was like, "Well, we're not fighting right now," you know what I mean? Because it was obviously a fucking gang initiation, you know.
So this was just to hit you.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you were a part
they
of
did
something.
Like, he did like a symbol to him, and then he did, and then he just walked off, and that was it.
I was a sucker punch.
Can I say
it's like
something?
Not even a fight, though.
That sucker punch shit that they do.
Yeah.
How's this, gang people? Why don't you punch each other? Why don't you do it like old school? Do a fucking a wall of death and go through whatever the fuck they call it. You're gonna go up to some random fucking dude, some guy walking home with headphones on, and knock him the fuck out.
Yeah, that's nothing.
There's really nothing more.
That's pussy shit, right there.
You're saying that somehow you're desensitized.
Yeah,
you have no empathy for human beings, but you're really just a fucking coward.
Are you saying
that's it? What
are you saying? Gang members aren't good people.
What I'm saying is, if you want to be a badass, why don't you fight each other?
Yeah.
Take the biggest motherfucker out of your gang.
They do.
How do you know?
Because you ever see the gang fights? They have to jump into a gang, like 6 versus 1 or something like that for a minute.
Yeah, but this little new thing they've added, hit the guy with the beard who likes records.
Right.
Or the old lady. old lady walking down the street. Yeah.
Ugh, when they hit the old lady?
That's the shitty
But isn't that like, that's like grossly exaggerated.
Yeah, but
too,
you
right?
can defend yourself a little bit. Old lady, you can't defend themselves.
A very little bit, but you can...
I tell you what, if it was me and her, I would just trip her so they went after her and run away. Do something like that.
You would trip
I guess
the
that was a failed bit. I'm not really sure what that was.
I think that's
definitely a fail. I'm going to take that.
What do we got in the chat room? Anything?
Though. That's what's great about you.
What do we got in the chat room? You try,
which is really what separates.
That's what's really
what happened
good.
To your microphone? You unplugged your mic there, Sal. Yeah, we need that. What do we got?
Plug it in, plug it in.
Derek Gatto says, that poor girl having to eat Bobby's ass. It's like licking a sewer grater.
Is there anything up to date? That's like 9 hours ago.
Ted's breaking the mics here.
Well, honestly, you go to my chat.
Well, they're talking about how you have shunned Lewis, or they think you've shunned Lewis from the podcast. Right. They're wondering what that's about. Lewis is in the chat room. They're talking to him. It's a whole thing.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, well... He's on 900 podcasts.
Is Lewis shunned?
No, he's not shunned.
No, they think he's shunned, so they're trying to start.
Lewis asked me to review his podcast. He asked me to give it stars before I had even listened to it. He said, and then go on and say that it's great.
Oh, I thought you meant like a formal written review.
On iTunes, he says, just do it. It now.
He took my iPhone the other day. And just, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to do something. And he just goes to
reviewed his own
it,
show?
And he fucking reviewed it on my phone.
Lewis wants to be famous. Badly.
Well, then I said will, it. I guess.
I said it. Fuck you. I said it. Anybody who grabs somebody's phone bullies a 5-star out of them, and she's a woman.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even listen, but I haven't listened to your show.
Who fucking makes a woman fucking 5-star review?
He told me he goes, it's just a test. I got to figure out if this is actually what bumps us up in top podcasts. I was like, being good, I thought, helps.
Yeah, being patient, being good, getting
methodic.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was what
how many
mattered.
How many shows does he have?
I have no clue. But
what's he got? The
real ass Legion, Hammer Fisting.
And is there another one?
He's got Hammer Fisting?
Real Ass is a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why's he got so many? He's got like three. How do you have that much material?
Why?
I don't
fill that time.
I don't know.
Marina, is it true that you only gave the podcast 3 stars? That's what Lewis is saying.
I deleted it too.
The review?
I gave it 4. I didn't give it 3. I gave it 4 out of 5. Yeah. And he was upset about that. And I was like, I gave it 4 because I haven't listened to it. I just gave you 4. And he got mad at me. He's like, you fucking gave me 4? And then I was like, I think I said something like, I can't wait to meet these guys or something like that. But I would like to listen to it first before actually... You know, rating a podcast, Lewis. I adore you.
Everybody loves Lewis.
Stop forcing the stars on me. Stop it.
He's forcing the stars to be a star.
What else we got in the chat besides fucking Lewis Gomez? Fucking Gomites. Why is Lewis not on the show? Why is he? Why? He needs a 4th podcast. He needs more shows.
It's him trying to do different voices, but it still sounds like him. Like, got that
hey,
one.
I'm Carol, fan of Lewis. Gomites unite. You see his Instagram, there's fucking 12 likes. Go ahead.
When you shared your story, Stephen Gonzalez said, powerful words by Robert Kelly. Thank you for sharing.
You got it, buddy.
So there you go. Nice little positive input from
that's
the chat.
That's some nice that's stuff, good. Deepu. Yeah.
I'm filtering, bro.
Well, filter. What I'm doing. What's the mean thing that was said?
Bobby's fat.
But not the obvious thing. Is there anything better than that, you fucking thin Indian?
No, I have nothing prepared that's negative right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, well, listen, guys. We're going to wrap this up.
I will say this.
What you told us.
What you told us, Robert, is like, I haven't gone to therapy in about a month.
Yeah.
Because I don't really pay her the way I'm supposed to. Well,
are you on a tangent right now? You can always tell somebody who has their own podcast when they're on my show. I say, all right, we'll wrap it up. You know, let me just say this. Let me take the reins for 5 seconds.
No, but it just makes me want to, I have to go back. It really touched me.
Yeah. And then I got uncomfortable that I was getting touched. So I'm like, let's just go to a bit.
I was uncomfortable that Dan saying that I felt that he was getting touched. And I was like, I don't think he goes through this very often.
Yeah, this is just, it was like, really too much for me. I go through it a lot, but yeah. All right, now it's just, is there a sad one? Like, whenever you had like a sad real moment, like you're not trying for a bit, you're just trying to have a moment.
All right, well listen, man.
La la la.
I want to go to this doctor. I want whatever this nose spray is. I want some.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good
what
stuff.
What the fuck? I can't stop looking at your fucking 2 titties now. I've never seen you with titties. I've never looked at your titties ever.
I know. They look great, right?
Man, they look good now.
Intimacy.
All right, we're going to end the show. I think she's literally unraveling. Make sure you check out Lewis's three other shows.
Hammer Me Now.
No, that's not it. He should combine all three of them and call it that. Hammer Me Now. Dude. What do you got, Mike? What do you got coming up?
I plug my dates.
Yeah, I know. Do it again.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Just go to your website. What's your website?
Yeah, MikeVecchione.com. And follow me on Twitter, at ComicMikeV. That's the most important. At ComicMikeV.
Mike V, you're always a fucking rock star on the show, dude. Thanks for coming
Thanks for
on,
having
brother.
Me.
You got it, man. What do you got, Mr. St. James?
DanSt.Germain.net. All my sites and my album. And then all my sites. Jesus Christ. All my dates and my album you can get. And I have a podcast, My Dumb Friends. Twitter's DsGermain.
That's great. Now, where do you do your show?
Sean Donnelly's Kitchen. We'd love to have you on. Marina's on tomorrow.
Sean Donnelly's tomorrow.
Thursday. Irish guy.
Yeah. I love Sean, dude.
Yeah, Sean is. He's at the Soul World.
Do I love that?
Yeah,
kid.
He's great. We'd love to have you on. It's me and him host.
Where is it in Brooklyn?
It's in Williamsburg. Yeah,
I will definitely come out and do that.
That'd be great.
Let's do that. And then when do you do it on?
We're just doing Thursday because I live in LA, so we do like whenever I'll be back in June. So if you can't do it tomorrow, we could do it in June or whatever.
I can't do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But let's do it in June.
Yeah, or we can come to you too. So
yeah, come here. We'll do it here.
It's the most logical thing because our producer. In Massachusetts, he's in New York, and I'm in California, so it's like the worst.
That's what you gonna do. Them. Technology, man.
Yeah, technology.
Titties. I mean, Marina, what do you got, Bubba?
That's fine. You can call me Titties if you want to.
What the fuck accent is that?
Hey, Robert.
Is that like half?
Don't forget, I have that rub for you.
will you please finish this? It's a fucking a barbecue rub.
Yes, it is. My, yes, from yes, where? Simply Marvelous. My my cousin Stefan. Yeah, no, Simply Marvelous out of Santa Barbara, California.
Right.
Best rub. Actually, has been reviewed on YouTubes. He's got a pecan.
Both of them?
What?
Both YouTubes? What the fuck is YouTubes?
That's how old. On the YouTubes.
Is that what you told that white girl? Yo, bitch, I'm going to get you on the YouTube.
But I brought you a special rub because really? You've helped me so much with my podcast, Friends Like Us.
Yeah.
And if you want to check me out, marinafranklin.com.
I fucking love you. I'm glad that you made it to the show today.
Thank you, Robert.
I was going to tell you to beat it.
Uh-huh.
But Deepu was like, no.
No, I was
I'll tell
so
you, can I say something?
Much like
Deepu, I was like, you know what? Fuck her.
And did you?
Yeah, a little bit.
But you didn't relay the information.
I relayed all the information.
I said to you, what did I say?
What'd you say?
What'd you say?
I said, he's young. He probably is not relaying this to Robert
what's
correctly.
What's the information?
I should call Robert
there
myself.
You should have. Why? Because
I was like, he's not doing this right.
What,
I said, I know how serious Robert is about time. It's very important that you tell him I have a doctor's appointment.
He told me, he didn't
that
say.
I cannot reschedule.
I said,
that
you
first
have a doctor's,
part,
so his doctor's
but
appointment.
But you didn't say that first part, which changes the whole fucking dynamic.
Yes. And I said,
I know how he is
about time.
She's actually acknowledged. Yeah, you fucking. You have no common sense.
And I said, I bet. He's not relaying this correctly.
That's a big part.
I did say she wanted to be here, though.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
That's different from
yes, I did.
I know how Robert is about time.
Very different. Anyways.
She's having a doctor's
Deepu,
appointment.
Enough. Yeah. My fucking craziness.
You're young. It's okay. How
Deepu,
old are you?
Shut. Hey.
How old are you?
27.
Hey, friends like us. Deepu. Deepu was like, I was like, I just tell her to come next week. He was like, no, you should have her on if she can make the second hour. I was like, really? He was like, yeah, she's a great guest. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you,
right?
Deepu.
Not even a
but
sexual
right.
thing. Not even a sexual
But you're right. You were
yeah.
right.
Thank you. I am right.
Yes, he likes
but we
you.
Can make it sexual.
But if you fuck Deepu, I need
we're
going to
go have some nine.
Anyways, I'm glad you came on.
Thank you,
he
Robert.
He's a good looking guy.
I love you, Robert.
Thank you, Dan.
I want that to be the last thing.
I love
I
you
say.
Too, Deepu.
Thank you.
All right, go check out RobertKellyLive.com for all my dates. I'm going to be where? Nice
did
talking
we,
to you.
We do
you
already, did we?
No, we didn't. I'm going to be in Albany
You're
going to
be April 18th, Cove Haven Resort in Lakeville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's a sexy couples resort. So
no,
maybe
really?
You and Deepu can go up there.
Ooh.
What else?
May 14th, 15th, 16th, Laugh Boston.
That's the show. Boston fans, spread the word. Get your friends involved in that.
After Bobby Kelly show sells out, please come to my show.
You know, I'll tell you this. Who? John Oliver, right?
Yeah.
So me and Lenny Marcus today. We're having lunch up before I go to therapy. I love Lenny Marcus. I call him up. I'm going to be in your neighborhood. Meet me over there. He meets me over at the diner. We're talking. All of a sudden, John Oliver walks in. And I'm like, oh, shit. I go, he's not going to know either one of us. and he walks in and he sits down with whoever he's with, and they eat, and then we're eating, we're fucking laughing, we do whatever. And he's walking out, and I look over, and he's there, and he goes, "Hey, how you doing, Bobby? Nice to meet, nice to see you."
He's like classiest guy ever.
He is so sweet. The nice. Yeah.
I was like, this is why I'm a fucking moron. That is like a, he knows. He literally says, "Hey, Bobby, nice to see you." Like he not to, you know.
In your head, and you're
I go, "Hey, man, you too, man. Great, thanks, John." And then he's leaving. I go, "You doing a great job." Lenny just puts his head down. I fucking suck at fucking.
That's sweet though.
It's not
priceless. Sweet.
You're doing a great. No shit.
It's very.
You didn't say at what though.
I think
you just
said
you're doing a great job.
But it's still vulnerable.
I go,
you put
you're
it
doing a
there.
Great job. I suck. The other day I'm on Cowhead. Corolla calls in. I don't say a word. And at the end, he's like, "All right, I'll talk to you later." And I go, "Hi, Adam. It's Robert Kelly." Just like that. He goes, "Hello?" It's like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Anyways. You want to take over again? Go ahead.
It's hard to be real nice sometimes. But that was like vulnerable. You were like throwing it out there.
I was shocked that he knew who I was, and I was very pleasant. I was
he's so nice, that guy.
Pleasantly surprised, you know, and then... For him to say that, that's very nice. Right. And then for me to go, "You're doing a good job."
You can almost see the words like in the air.
It's so funny that that never ends. You know, because I think my first interaction with you, I felt the same thing. I was like, "Hey, funny." And then I like walked away. You know, it never ends, I guess.
It's the worst.
I told Louis that I imagined his pubic hair. That was my interaction.
We're going to end the show.
I just wanted to tell him that the scene, like, yeah.
Okay, great. You guys are the best fans in the fucking world. Thanks for checking out my show, listening every week. You guys have been showing up at my shows, coming up to me, letting me know that you listen to the show. That means the world to me. We do this, all this stuff for you guys so that you can come see what we really do, which is stand-up comedy. And you guys have been showing the fuck up every weekend, buying tickets, bringing friends, and selling these shows out, which is great for me. I can't thank you enough for downloading the show, listening to it, and spreading the word. You guys are amazing. I'm not going to force you when I see you, grab your phone and give me a 5-star review on iTunes. But if you'd like to go and subscribe and review, that would be magnificent. I am going to force you to go buy my special at robertkellylive.com, $5 donation. Robert Kelly Live from the Village Underground. Tell everybody about that. Spread the word about that. Put it on Twitter. Get the word out there. Help your pal out. And make sure you check out everybody, all these comics that have been on my show, the regulars, Dan, Joe, Lewis, and then all these guys today that have been on the show. Go to their shows live and tell them you're there because you heard them on this show. Let them know, you know, the YKW fucking dude podcast. Let them know that you, whatever. I'm rambling now. You
check
guys are the best.
Out.
You know what?
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.